intelligence and law enforcement agencies have disrupted countless plots here and overseas and worked around the clock to keep us safe. Our military and counterterrorism professionals have relentlessly pursued terrorist networks overseas, disrupting safe havens in several different countries, killing Osama bin Laden.
But Obama didn't happen to mention that Representative Stephen Lynch, Democrat of Massachusetts, disclosed that a congressional investigation recently found that at least 72 people working at the Department of Homeland Security also were on the terror watch list. What would have been a scandal 30 years ago was barely mentioned today. Enter Donald Trump.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on.
Soon after that statement, the liberal reactionaries on Twitter replied with fervor, even going so far as to call for Trump's assassination. Tweets included, "Can we kill Trump? Now he wants to impede Muslims from entering the U.S. Someone really needs to kill Trump, ASAP. Somebody kill Trump. I genuinely mean it. And I'd rather murder Trump and rot in jail than let my kid grow up in a world with Trump as president." Fresh off of backtracking her statements disregarding the First Amendment, it appears Attorney General Loretta Lynch would find all of this call to violent action at the very least predicating. Of course, she won't bat an eye because Trump is on the wrong team. The lamestream media began to weigh in with their bought and paid for tactics.
You have leaders from your own party in the key states of Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina. You have galvanized political rivals all saying this is un-American and extreme and that it makes you a fascist. How do you respond?
Well, I totally disagree. You take a look, Chris, at what's going on, and it is disgraceful. First of all, you know, people quickly forget World Trade Center 1, World Trade Center number 2.
I've said this 100 times the last couple months. They kill Trump. They're coming after me, Joe Rogan, Tucker Carlson. Elon Musk is even above us on that list because they know who's chosen humanity, who won't sell out. Who wants prosperity? Who wants to stop World War III?
The American people are seeing the corruption that they've suspected from their government agencies, who've been populated by the Obama workers and the Obama appointees for over a decade. So Trump has an opportunity now when he ascends the stage and speaks at every podium to say, this has been a turning moment for me. This has been a moment of wisdom and a moment of reflection when a bullet whizzes by your ear. And the pain of being bloodied and scarred and hurt and traumatized. But I continue on. But they may try it again. But let me say, if they try it again, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I don't fear death. I am serving the American people. I'm serving the Constitution. I took an oath to support the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and we're facing domestic enemies.
Let me give you one bottom line. As a former government official, government's going to kill this guy.
And the donor class can't just sit back on the sidelines and say, oh, well, don't worry, this will all work itself out. They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you.
And Trump has promised to focus on the profound reform of the entire intelligence apparatus itself. Not only the CIA, but also the FBI, also the NSA. What would that mean? It would mean the firing or early retirement of thousands of agents and bureaucrats that have been involved in covert operations the world over, who know where the bodies are buried.
They'll definitely work through some of the cutards that you've got your order from Trump. Now, the truck's waiting here. I've already seen them get them to run trains off cliffs and attack the Hoover Dam and all that. Q is run by the deep state.
You're exactly right, Alex. The Q thing is a deep state operation. Now, they are probably planning on using these MS-13 military-age young men who've been brought into the country to start doing guerrilla warfare operations, throwing out grenades and shooting automatic weapons into churches and police stations is how you traumatize America. They're going to engage in domestic terrorism operations, but they're going to lose because, again, this week the American public woke up like never before. They've been adrenalized. They've suddenly become Braveheart, rushing onto the field of battle.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt defects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
It's Thursday, July 18th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We have a very big show for you today. We'll be joined by Ed Tarpley in the 9 o'clock hour. We're talking about what's been happening at the RNC. More information coming out about the assassination attempt. More convoluted and bizarre information, if I'm being honest with you. Yet again, the more we hear, the less we understand in a strange sort of paradigm. We're going to take your calls throughout the show as well and take a look at just some of the suspicious activity of the deep state surrounding this assassination attempt, as well as show you some clips from the RNC last night, which was another pretty good night. It was pretty good as far as I'm concerned. We'll get into all of it and more, plus your phone calls. Stay tuned. But first, here it is, your Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Thursday, the 18th of July, 2024. Mayorkas is blocking Secret Service director from testifying. The Department of Homeland Security has opened an investigation after the Secret Service catastrophically failed to protect former President Donald Trump at a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania last weekend. Trump nearly escaped death after a bullet went through his ear while he was speaking at the lectern. The shooter was positioned on an unsecure roof just 140 yards away from the stage. The DHS Inspector General has also now opened an investigation into this. Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill have also launched separate investigations and have called on Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle to testify on Monday, July 22nd. According to House Speaker Mike Johnson, DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas is attempting to block Cheadle from testifying. Johnson called on Cheadle to resign during an interview with Fox News Wednesday morning. Johnson's claim is backed up by reporting from Tuesday that she's not going to testify on Monday. Biden's Department of Homeland Security, led by impeached Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, just stepped in to block the Secret Service from providing a previously agreed to briefing to lawmakers on the House Oversight Committee. This is not how you inspire confidence. Alejandro Mayorkas and Merrick Garland are both now engaged in some sort of obstructive activity to the oversight of Congress. We've been telling you for a very long time now that this is the sort of main conflict in American politics right now, which is the executive branch consolidating power and usurping authority from Congress in very obvious and upfront ways. And if Congress allows this to happen, then that's it. That's it for our elected representation. So for the sake of actual democracy, like all these people yelling about democracy being destroyed. Well, the people in power right now are systematically eliminating our elected representation and our ability for people that actually have to in some way respond to us, our local congressmen or senators, are being completely disempowered. And they have apparently no ability to hold the executive in check, meaning that that carefully balanced system of checks and balances with the three branches of the government is being eliminated as everything's folded into the executive branch, meaning that the only say that we'll have in our government is voting on which puppet talks to us every 4 years, while the people in the background actually running things never have to get put to a vote and aren't even observed by or you know, provided oversight by anybody who's been elected. It's the actual death of democracy, and it's actually happening. And Congress may have to take extreme measures to rectify the situation. Alejandro Mayorkas and Merrick Garland should honestly both be in handcuffs. But we'll see. Meanwhile, the DHS Inspector General has launched an investigation into Secret Service after failed protection led to attempted assassination of Donald Trump. The Department of Homeland Security's Inspector General is investigating the Secret Service after the agency failed to prevent that assassination attempt. The notice stated the Office of Inspector General was evaluating the Secret Service's process for securing President Trump's July 13th, 2024 campaign event. The notice was not conspicuously posted on its website, but listed on ongoing projects with the word new next to it. There was no formal announcement of the investigation or details on when it began. President Joe Biden has also ordered a review of security measures at the rally. So we're getting like five different investigations at this point. But we know the way that investigations typically work, especially if, you know, the FBI is in charge of them, which they would be the, you know, authority in this. They would be the, you know, top law enforcement area. And you know, obviously congressional investigations should supersede that. But if the FBI refuses to hand over information and ignores contempt of Congress charges like Alejandro Mayorkas is doing and like how Merrick Garland is doing, I guess the FBI will just investigate and then all of the evidence will go missing, and that'll be that. So we'll see. Meanwhile, Biden yesterday said medical condition could prompt him to drop out of race if doctors came to me. President Biden said in a new interview that he would consider dropping out if he's diagnosed with a medical condition by doctors, giving the clearest indication yet that he may be faltering in his vow to seek a second term. The 81-year-old president made his remark in a BET interview taped Tuesday when asked what it would take to prompt him to reconsider his candidacy. And then later that day, he was in fact tested positive for COVID. "We'll self-isolate in Delaware," White House said. Did he really test positive for COVID, or does he just want to hang out in Delaware? We don't know. He canceled his speech Wednesday evening after he tested positive for COVID-19. Following his first event in Las Vegas, he will self-isolate in Delaware, the White House said. He will be returning to Delaware, where he will self-isolate and will continue to carry out all of his duties fully during that time.
Can he do that forever?
Yeah. Can he just stay there? "I feel good," he told reporters. Wouldn't that be something? COVID ushered him in through the lockdowns and the mail-in ballots, and then COVID might usher him out as a viable excuse for removing him to still make it look like Democrats are unified. Wouldn't that be convenient? And again, we'll get into that a little bit more. And by the way, I went on Roads to Liberty with Hobbs last Friday and Simon from Florida, and he made the very astute observation that Lloyd Austin has been making speeches that sound extremely presidential about American unity and all these other things. So Lloyd Austin gave a speech to NATO. It sounded like it was a straight up presidential campaign speech. And as soon as he said that, it hit me what a perfect choice Lloyd Austin would be. He's the Joint Chiefs of Staff chief. He's black. He's a military guy. He's clearly a Democrat. He's clearly anti-Trump. He's also long time business partners with Anthony Blinken, who is currently, you know, acting as president. So that would be the most convenient thing for Blinken and his crew. A loyal, you know, long tested puppet to replace Biden and allow, you know, the Anthony Blinkens in the administration to continue to run things without too much interference. I think that might be the most viable option I've heard for a potential replacement for Joe Biden. I know Michelle Obama is the top of a lot of people's lists, and I really just don't see that. I just don't. It's possible, but it's also a very far ask. Kamala Harris, obviously, it's terrible. Nobody likes her at all, most especially on the Democratic side. Gavin Newsom just looks like a psychopath. I don't know. That's sort of a non-starter as well, considering the fact that California is just doing terribly under him. I think Lloyd Austin might be the best bet. I think Lloyd Austin might be the dark horse in this. But we shall see. We shall see. It does look like Biden is being pushed out, and we'll cover some of those stories a little bit later. But finally, we have this. J.D. Vance makes his first primetime speech at convention after being chosen by Trump as a running mate. His speech was, I thought, fantastic. And if you listen to the show on Monday, or was it Tuesday, whenever the day after the first RNC was, I sort of mentioned some things that I would like to see the Republicans talk about. And J.D. Vance, I'm not kidding, I think hit every single one of them. I talked about, you need to be speaking to millennials about why they can't buy houses and what got us to that point. And literally J.D. Vance is like, people are looking around, they can't buy houses. And I'll explain exactly how we got to that point. It's like, oh, wow, this is exactly what we wanted. Appalachia's revenge, J.D. Vance. And of course, I think we showed you the speech from J.D. Vance when he was first chosen as VP, where he talked about how America is not just an idea. It's not just a set of ideas. It's a people. And yeah, we have good ideas, but we're not an economic zone. We're not a piece of paper. Our people are not interchangeable with any other people and have America just continue as it is. And that, again, was a central theme of his speech yesterday. At one point, he talks about a cemetery plot in Kentucky that houses seven generations of his family, again, tying his roots deeply to America. We'll go to a portion of his speech now. People will not fight for abstractions, but they will fight for their home. Here's J.D. Vance at the RNC yesterday.
But it's true. Now, when I proposed to my wife, we were in law school, and I said, honey, I come with $120,000 worth of law school debt and a cemetery plot on a mountainside in eastern Kentucky. And I guess standing here tonight, it's just gotten weirder and weirder, honey. But that's what she was getting. Now, that cemetery plot in eastern Kentucky is near my family's ancestral home. And like a lot of people, we came from the mountains of Appalachia into the factories of Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Now, that's Kentucky coal country, one of the 10... Now, it's one of the 10 poorest counties in the entire United States of America. They're very hardworking people, and they're very good people. They're the kind of people who would give you the shirt off their back even if they can't afford enough to eat. And our media calls them privileged and looks down on them. But they love this country not only because it's a good idea, but because in their bones they know that this is their home. And it will be their children's home, and they would die fighting to protect it. That is the source of America's greatness. As a United States Senator, I get to represent millions of people in the great state of Ohio with similar stories, and it is the great honor of my life. Now, in that cemetery, there are people who were born around the time of the Civil War. And if, as I hope, my wife and I are eventually laid to rest there, and our kids follow us, there will be seven generations just in that small mountain cemetery plot in eastern Kentucky. Seven generations of people who have fought for this country, who have built this country, who have made things in this country, and who would fight and die to protect this country if they were asked to. Now that's not just an idea, my friends. That's not just a set of principles, even though the ideas and the principles are great. That is a homeland. That is our homeland. People will not fight for abstractions, but they will fight for their home. And if this movement of ours is going to succeed, and if this country is going to thrive, our leaders have to remember that America is a nation, and its citizens deserve leaders who put its interests first.
Very, very powerful stuff from J.D. Vance, the vice presidential nominee. It really was a good speech. The best parts, in my opinion, were when the entire crowd was chanting Mama. He kept talking about his grandmother, and the whole crowd would start chanting, Mama, Mama. And at one point, J.D. Vance points out his mother, who is nearly 10 years clean and sober, but he didn't say her name. He just said, my mom. So the whole crowd starts chanting, J.D.'s mom, J.D.'s mom. It was very good event yesterday, I thought, about safety and security. And probably the most heartbreaking part of all of it was there was an extended period, an extended segment of the convention last night where the parents of the soldiers who died in Afghanistan got up and talked about Joe Biden looking at his watch during the moving of the caskets, and brought up the point that during the debate, Biden had claimed not a single soldier had died on his watch in combat. And these are the parents who lost their children because of his orders, because of, the political timing of the removal from Afghanistan. And he gets up in front of the American people and says, nobody died. And they're sitting there watching it, thinking about their kids who died under his watch because of his orders, because of the arbitrary deadline that he'd set that didn't have any purpose for being set, but which caused the rush to get out of Afghanistan, which left over a dozen American servicemen dead on the ground in Afghanistan. Just horrible. And again, the J.D. Vance speech yesterday, it was not so unique or novel or extraordinary that it was like Trump in 2015, like when Trump came down the escalator and started going, they're not sending their best folks. That was like a, what am I watching? This is not like any political speech I've ever seen. It wasn't quite that far, but if you think about what he was talking about, if you listen to the way he's phrasing things and the words he's using and the ideas he's putting forward, J.D. Vance's speech was very unlike any other speech at a Republican National Convention before. And I don't want to say he sounded like Alex Jones, because it wasn't quite like that. But his whole speech was infused with the ideas that we talk about here on InfoWars. The ideas of America being deliberately shut down, of NAFTA exporting jobs to Mexico and hurting the middle class, especially in the Rust Belt, followed up by trade deals with China that did the same. At one point, he said that America should no longer let China build its middle class by destroying ours. And it's just, it's a new political realm out there, and the anti-globalist ticket is the winning one. J.D. Vance goes on to say, quote, we've heard from the villains about the villains and their victims, but let me tell you about the future. And that was that's the other sort of overarching theme from the Republican National Convention. Practically every speech at one point has some statement of defiance against the end of America. Like every speech is talking about how great we were in the past, but makes a point to say our best days are ahead of us. Not so much in a uplifting, I mean, it is uplifting and hopeful, but it's more of a defiance. It's more of a, we could go down forever. America could be over. This experiment could be ended. Or we can fight and make our future better than our past. But the whole thing is just soaked, just dripping in this idea of, I don't remember if it was J.D. Vance or somebody else, you know, actually saying like, we don't have to take the path of Rome. We don't have to be an empire in collapse. We don't have to, because there's this just idea that's pervasive in the wider popular culture. That's like, America's in decline. America's going away, and that's fine and unstoppable. And so it's best just to get used to it. And the RNC is basically saying, no, we don't have to surrender ourselves to this. We don't have to give up to this. There's nothing set in stone about this. There's no inevitable decline. The decline is the result of choices that we're making. We can make different choices. That's just people in power don't want to. And again, as much as that is the overall concept, and in J.D. Vance's speech, he very much talked about the ways that the decisions made by people in government have led to this eventuality, but there's still this usage of words that I think could be more accurate. Like, still you hear them saying things like, Joe Biden's just not up for the task of rebuilding America. It's like, if there's one thing that I wish could change about the way this is phrased and the way this is perceived by the crowd and the audience at home, is just the understanding that it's not an accident and it's not incompetence. And while they might not explicitly be saying, well, they're trying their best and they're just not very good, that's the implication. But that's an incorrect implication. The reality is that NAFTA destroyed the middle class on purpose. And everybody knew it was going to do that before they did it, and they did it because that was the purpose. Because the ultimate goal of the people in power is to connect economies around the world in a way that's impossible to untangle. To have entire national systems reliant on trade networks that make them dependent on the international community. The whole point of all of these trade agreements, it was never to benefit America. It was never to boost the middle class or benefit the American people. They're all part of a scheme by the elite who have been pursuing for decades, if not centuries, a unified one world government that required a lot of preconditions, steps taken to get there. You had to do NAFTA. You had to do the trade deal with China. You had to get these international trade groups up and running in a way that it was impossible to reverse. So while the speech was fantastic, I wish the intent was described more.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a war against the globalist, and people can't identify who's a patriot and who isn't. We want to identify as pro-human and anti-globalist. We want to let people know we're 1776 Part 2. That's why I designed this amazing 1776 red, white, and blue Gadsden flag shirt so you can support the InfoWar and meet like-minded people everywhere when you wear it. When you wear these shirts, it creates an amazing amount of energy, and it's quite the adventure. So get your 1776 shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com. InfoWars.com and get your Team Humanity InfoWars limited edition shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this is antithetical, the complete opposite of what the globalists are pushing. So get both the Team Humanity and the 1776 Gadsden Snake shirts limited edition at InfoWarsStore.com right now. Spread the word, meet like-minded people, and fund the 1776 revolution worldwide.
Omega-3 fatty acids are needed for optimal strength, and they can only be obtained through diet. They can be found in grass-fed beef, which is why the ruling class is trying to ban it. And they can be found in fish, which are arguably the best source of omega-3s. But the problem today is finding fish without a high mercury content. Your best option is our Ultimate Fish Oil and Ultimate Krill Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. Omega-3 fatty acids are essential for both our neurological and cardiovascular systems, our brain and our heart. They improve mood, mental clarity, and immune function. Get your essential omega-3 fatty acids from the best sources available. Ultimate Fish Oil and Ultimate Krill Oil. Get some today at InfoWarsStore.com.
All right, folks, Nitric Boost is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, this supplement is amazing for several reasons. First of all, vitality enhancement. It's a great supplement to add to your routine if you do things like work out or if you're an athlete or if you simply want increased vitality throughout the day. The other reason this product is absolutely amazing is because Nitric Boost can help with muscle recovery. Now, we know that muscle recovery is an imperative part of muscle growth, and that this supplement being added to your routine can help you reach your goals in the gym with that recovery. Finally, cardiovascular health is a major factor when it comes to Nitric Boost. We know that heart disease is a major cause of death in the United States of America. Obviously, we've heard tons of reports over the last several years, especially of heart problems, myocarditis, and things like that. We know that Nitric Boost is a way to support your heart health. Check out InfoWarsStore.com today and get your bottle of Nitric Boost now.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply. Especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt defects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal, InfoWars.com. InfoWarsStore.com is where you go to support us. Folks, if you are over the age of 30, might I suggest InfoWarsStore.com. I'll tell you how to do it right now. You go to InfoWarsStore.com. You hover over the Health and Wellness tab. You go to InfoWarsMD. And you scroll down to Ageless Vitality Collagen by InfoWarsMD. It brings you a blend of peptides type 1, 2, and 3. Ageless Vitality Collagen can help support healthier skin, hair, and nails, stronger bones and joints, and enhanced youthfulness. Now, I'm no doctor, so I'm not going to make any medical claims. But I suggest you look into it for yourself, what collagen can do. And basically, once you turn 30, you start producing less and less collagen every year of your life. And then the longer it goes on, the less you produce. And so supplementing collagen can be an extremely effective way to combat some of the signs of aging and ageless vitality. Some of the best stuff on the market available now at InfoWarsStore.com, the InfoWars MD line of premium supplements on sale for the Save InfoWars Super Sale. It's 25% off, an incredible product. Now with that, let's get into the assassination. And still, it's been, 5 days since the assassination. And I'm still not sure it's fully sunk in what exactly we witnessed on Saturday. I know we've talked about it endlessly, and we've seen the not just the video of the actual occurrence, but the 3D recreations that show the exact movement of the head that allowed him to survive. What I would characterize unambiguously as a miracle, as a literal miracle that we all witnessed, in a way that not only was his survival, just a miraculous, just out of sheer chance, just like the chance that this would happen was absolutely miraculous. Not just that, but it happened in a way that if you actually look at the details and all the evidence, made it impossible to fake. Like there are lots of ways to fake an assassination attempt. This was not possible to be faked. There's a literal photo of the bullet flying by his head that somebody caught. Yeah, this is a recreation. So this video, that video that you just saw, the crosshairs video, that was a guy who was saying like in the path of the bullet, who'd just been just under the path of the bullet, but he was filming at the time. And that's what saved Donald Trump's life, that little head move. But again, in a way that made it impossible. And there's the bullet whizzing through the air, caught on camera. And I tried to explain a little bit yesterday that like people, because the media doesn't explain the evidence behind why people like us think some things are fake, and they just hide all the evidence. They don't tell you why we would say that. And so it seems crazy. Because the official story is very airtight and they'll explain it exactly how it is. And then they just say, and these people don't believe that and they're crazy and there's no evidence and they just ignore it. Like they do with everything, right? Just hide the evidence. They did it with the election. Yeah, it did. If all of your trusted authorities are saying it was the most trusted, it was the most safe election of all time and everything is accounted for and it's been adjudicated 75 times in different courts and every single time it was found that there was no fraud. If you're being told that over and over, and then you've got a group of people going, actually, it was totally fraudulent, and we all saw it with our own eyes, you're going to think they're crazy. And so they have this, and I don't know if this makes any sense to anybody, but then they have this event like the Trump assassination that they just don't want to believe. And they sort of just think like, oh, well, that's what you do. You just say it's fake because you don't want to believe it. Completely misunderstanding that the reason we say things are fake is because they're fake. The reason we say things are staged is because there's evidence of them being staged, not because we want it to be staged, not because it's just politically convenient if it was to be staged, but because there's evidence or there's a lack of evidence or there's something missing or there's a cover-up going on that we've uncovered. And so now you have a bunch of people who just want to pretend that the shooting was fake because it's inconvenient if it was real. But for somebody who has made a career out of questioning official narratives, I can tell you this narrative is accurate for all intents and purposes. That we know what happened here. We have video of the whole thing. We have video from an hour before and 3 hours before, and we have the video of the dude on the roof, and we have the video of the bullet, the picture of the bullet flying and the millimeters that it, shot past Trump's head. I mean, this was impossible to fake. And the miraculous dodging of the bullet. I mean, Trump literally dodged. He literally dodged a bullet. That guy didn't miss. Trump dodged. Okay? Just incredible. And part of the miracle of it, not just that he's alive, but that it means that this assassination attempt by what I think is almost certainly a deep state patsy, a deep state operative, whether he knew that's what he was or not, It means it was the worst possible outcome for Trump's enemies. The worst possible outcome. Any other outcome is preferable to them. Ideally, they wanted him shot in the head on live TV and wanted that image displayed across our screens for the rest of time. They wanted the RNC to be a funeral for not just Trump, but the Republican Party as a whole. But even barring that, it would have been preferable for them if, you know, the scheme had been figured out earlier on and the sniper had been killed before he ever fired off a bullet. That would certainly have been preferable, been easier to cover up, been less of a big deal. We wouldn't be probably even talking about the assassination attempt 5 days later if it had just been man with gun found near Trump rally, man with gun arrested near Trump rally. Potential assassination attempt, right? It just wouldn't have been a big deal, wouldn't have been a thing. There wouldn't have been this level of scrutiny to it. So these people set Trump up to be assassinated. They absolutely did. They allowed him to go out in an unsecure place with suspicious people walking around with range finders. They allowed this guy to maneuver for hours. And there's more video now where he's caught in the background. People are like filming the big Jumbotron, and you can see behind this dude is acting so suspicious. It's legitimately insane that he was allowed to. He's just wandering around, like looking up at the roof buildings and looking like he's trying not to look suspicious. It's so suspicious. They could have caught him at any time. So they set him up. They allowed this guy to operate. You know, he may have been more tied into the deep state than we know. And I think at this point, the theory that I expressed yesterday, I think there's more and more evidence to it. I truly believe at this point, if I had to put my money on anything, it's that this guy, this shooter, Thomas Crooks, was in communication with the FBI or some other DHS organization. I think he was being strung along to be a patsy so they could bust him, you know, give him fake explosives or explosive parts, running the same thing they've done over and over and over again. As it's been admitted, I mean, this is not conspiracy theory, this is public record, that the FBI will find a vulnerable person. Sometimes they're like literally retarded. They're like mentally ill, schizophrenic people.
Sometimes they're just trans.
Sometimes they're just trans. And there's rumors about this guy being trans. I don't really believe that either. There's a photo that's been going around. I don't think that's him, though.
He was just trying it out.
Yeah, maybe he was just experimenting. But no, I think they were leading him on. They were going to, yeah, there he is looking suspicious in the background. Yeah, we'll show you that full video in just a little bit. And, you know, whether this was the completion of his mission or whether he went, you know, without permission to try to carry out this attack, I think that explains the scrambling that you're seeing from the DHS and Secret Service. And it's why you're seeing them not resign. And I'll show you some testimony from an explosives expert on the other side that gives credence to this theory.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply. Especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt defects went way down. Then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review. Or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
Our world is so full of hype. We are force-fed dehumanizing propaganda by the corporate media, by the controlled churches and the universities. And why is this the case? Because we innately, by God, have been given the keys to our own minds, our own psyches, our own souls. And by connecting to God, we can empower ourselves and transcend the, quote, fallen or sinful state. So the chemicals that we ingest and all the things that we try to bring into our bodies to change who we are only lowering us. They're only making us more depressed. In the end, they're only making us less fulfilled. It is only by going within and really making that connection to God that we can truly empower ourselves. That's why the globalists bombard us with toxins and chemicals to block us getting the normal vitamins and minerals and trace elements our bodies need to be healthy and to be able to basically reach out beyond the third dimension. And that's where the incredible products come in at InfoWarsStore.com. One of the most frustrating things about being awake to the globalist agenda is seeing the general public still asleep. By and large, not aware of the magnitude of the incredible danger they're under, but also the ongoing attacks and the magnitude of the death caused by the lethal injections masquerading as vaccines. It is so frustrating to see people going about their daily lives oblivious. And you realize ignorance is not bliss. It equals death. But people are starting to really understand how serious things are. And that's a hard thing to do, because to wake up to a dystopic reality and realize that we're in the middle of a giant biological weapons war against humanity, and that there's mass sterilization that's already taken place, and they're cutting off all the major energy sources, is really hard to deal with, but it's the reality. Facing it is our only chance to turn this around, because stuff's about to get really, really nasty. InfoWars.com. If you don't get a high-quality gravity-fed filter from InfoWarsStore.com, please just get one. Now, we sell a unit, stainless steel, that is the highest rated out there. There's a couple of competitors that are just as good. There's 100 others that aren't as good. It is the best system out there to take thousands of chemicals and compounds down to non-detectable levels. The tap water, the well water, it is a witch's brew. And right now at InfoWarsStore.com, we have a special on the Alexa Pure gravity-fed water filtration system for 10% off. That's huge, because there's not much markup in these because we sell them so close to cost. So get your Alexa Pure water filtration systems and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com. But whatever you do, research what's in the tap water and the well water and start protecting yourself. And all gravity-fed filters are not created equal. We've got the best for the best price at InfoWarsStore.com for 10% off.
You're listening to The American Journal. Watch it live right now at band.video.
How you get so much favor on your side? Accept them as your Lord and Savior, I replied.
That's your love, that neighbor, not the bad. I'm learning a lot more about this assassination, but every new piece of information seems to inspire more questions than answers. And we reported yesterday on some of the put options that were placed on Donald Trump's Truth Social stock in the hours and days just before this event happened, perhaps hinting at some sort of foreknowledge by a firm here in Austin, actually, strangely enough. And we'll get to that in just a second. But let's just take this assassination attempt like any other crime and look at it like it was just, you know, some stockbroker in Minnesota to, you know, gets shot at while he's getting in his car after work and gets grazed by the bullet. And what are the questions you would ask? Well, the first question the police always ask is, who would benefit from this? Or, as they usually put it, did he have any enemies? It's always like the first question you'll see in a murder investigation. They'll bring in a friend of the deceased, and they'll say, who would want him dead? Who were his enemies? Did he have any? Is there anybody that he's made so mad they'd want him dead? And when you ask that about Donald Trump, that doesn't really narrow it down very much, does it? But if you had to define Trump's enemies in one word, it might be the word intelligence. Yes, Donald Trump's an enemy of intelligence. He's the enemy of the intelligence community in America, who has made their antipathy towards the 45th president very well known throughout his time running for and then in office. I have a 6-minute compilation, a full decade of Obama's deep state Trump assassination rhetoric. We'll go to a quicker clip here just to remind you. Particularly the intelligence agencies and the CIA not being very subtle in their calls for Trump's death. Going back years, let's go now to clip number 3.
Let me give you one bottom line. As a former government official, government's going to kill this guy.
And the donor class can't just sit back on the sidelines and say, oh, well, don't worry, this will all work itself out. They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump. And that's a fact.
You take on the intelligence community, they have 6 ways from Sunday at getting back at you.
Bulleted him.
While other networks.
6 ways from Sunday from getting back at you. Of course, it's not just. Then we'll go now to clip number 7. Here's a little historic compilation of the threats and violent rhetoric that has been leveled at Donald Trump.
This was posted by Alex Jones yesterday. If he takes the risk of going to trial and he's convicted, that could be seen as an impeachable offense.
I don't see how that wouldn't be an impeachable offense.
That tweet fits the Republican definition of an impeachable offense.
Where do you see an impeachable offense?
It is grounds for impeachment.
Potentially criminal or even impeachable.
Grounds for impeachment.
You may scapegoat Andy McCabe, but you will not destroy America. America will triumph over you. That apparently directed toward the President of the United States.
Is it impeachable?
100% is impeachable.
Very substantial evidence that the president is guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors.
You take on the intelligence community, they have 6 ways from Sunday at getting back at you.
As a former government official, government's going to kill this guy.
Impeachment's not good enough for Trump. He needs to be imprisoned and placed in solitary confinement. But for now, impeachment is the imperative.
That's right.
I ask you tonight.
As with so many people knowing about this, it's interesting, and I'm kind of proud to say this, it took a member of the intelligence community to step up and bring it forward.
It's hard to imagine a set of circumstances that would have alarmed the founders more than what's on that call, where you have a president using the full power of his office to try to effectively coerce a foreign leader that is completely dependent on our country for military, economic, diplomatic, and other support to intervene in our election to help his campaign.
Talk about pressuring a foreign country to interfere with and control a U.S. election. It couldn't be clearer. And that's not just undermining democratic institutions. That is treason. It's treason pure and simple. And the penalty for treason under the U.S. code is death. That's the only penalty.
I mean, president is only a 4-year job, but it feels like it's taken him 5 years to just fire his ass. It's frustrating. You know, I bet somebody explained how long impeachment takes to John Wilkes Booth, and he was like, okay, well, where's he at right now?
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
The call is the call, but there's nothing here that rises to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors.
Well, they're wrong.
And the donor class can't just sit back on the sidelines and say, oh, well, don't worry, this will all work itself out. They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump. And that's a fact.
So, yeah, okay, that doesn't narrow it down very much. But obviously, the primary enemy of Donald Trump is the people in government, people in the spy state, the people who, again, have made it their mission to try to destroy him. So again, if this was just your average murder case, you would look at, you know, the person's life and look back and go, okay, well, it looks like here they had a former business partner that like was caught cutting his brake lines and then was caught filing, you know, fake police reports to get his kids taken away. And then he was, you know, suing him and trying to destroy his life that way. All right. Here's this character that's tried to destroy the victim over and over and over and over and over again. Maybe he just went for broke and tried to kill the guy. And that would be the obvious conclusion. So when you look at, you know, the list of suspects for assassination of Donald Trump, at the very top of the list has to be the intelligence agency. And the fact that this shooter was found with explosives gives even more credence to this theory. Let's go now to clip number 8. This is Matt Tardio, retired Green Beret, talking about the explosive devices found on the shooter.
Things just got more weird for the President Trump assassination attempt. Right down here below is a transmitter, and we're about to talk about why that is a huge flipping deal. For those that don't know, my name is Matt Torrio. I'm a retired Green Beret and prior law enforcement officer, and I happen to be an explosives expert on top of all that. So what does that transmitter have to do with the explosives found inside the vehicle, and what does it tell us about the suspect? So obviously he presses a series of buttons on the transmitter, which then goes towards the receiver. It then sends out an electrical impulse, which then runs through the charge and detonates it. Now that electrical impulse that's sent out by the receiver, or in this case we're going to call it the switch, is not enough to set off the main charge. That, my friends, is why electric blasting caps exist. Now, if that's the case, and he actually had his explosive devices rigged up to an electric blasting cap, he could have acquired them one of two ways. The first way is he could have made them. Precursors are readily available at numerous places here inside of the United States, and truthfully, I've even had them sent to my front door off of Amazon. Now, he could have taken those precursors and mixed his own explosives out of it and made his own electric blasting cap. Only problem is, in order to do that, it requires a very precise formula, and it's highly volatile when you're making and drying it. Then he would have to pack the cap without blowing himself up, and so on and so forth. Manufactured caps are very closely tracked, so I highly doubt he got his hands on one of those. Now, the suspect is 20 years old, and last I checked, he does not exactly have an extensive background in chemistry. He'd also have to have a location to dry out the explosives after he manufactured them. And by the way, I want you to picture like a Breaking Bad laboratory. It doesn't have to be that extensive, but a lot of the same materials you see used in Breaking Bad to manufacture the meth is the same thing that he would be using in order to manufacture the explosives. It's chemistry. His parents would have seen that. They would have smelt it. They would have noticed. He lives at home, so he'd have to have a storage facility or somewhere else in order to make it. But again, it goes back into how the hell did the kid not blow himself up doing it, because the temperatures have to be very exact, and if it gets too hot, you can frickin' cause the whole thing to detonate right there on the spot. A lot of people are speculating and saying that because he doesn't have a social media profile, it's kind of weird. But I want you to look at it from a foreign actor's perspective. If you were going to be training somebody and giving them the means in order to do what this gentleman did, would you want them to have a social media platform? The answer is no, because all they have to do is make one dumbass comment and the whole thing is going to get tipped off to law enforcement. So you would want to recruit somebody like him who has been picked on in school, likely has a couple mental issues, but also has no real social media presence, and likely gets his interactions online through different platforms like, I don't know, say 4chan or Reddit. Once they've got him recruited, then they just need to talk to him. Once they're talking to him, either through, you know, emails, private messaging, whatever, right? There's a million different ways to do it. They don't even have to meet up with the guy. They can just give him a series of tasks, and then once he completes those tasks and they know he's good to go, then they can start dead-dropping him the different things that he needed in order to conduct this attack. This whole thing looks shady as hell.
Yeah, and he labels it as foreign actors, but the same rule applies if it was people pretending to be foreign actors. We'll be right back to lay out the case for the deep state being behind this.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I want to encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
You know, working at InfoWars, you hear a lot of negative things about your place of work. One of the things they like to say about our supplements is we're snake oil salesmen. Well, folks, it ain't snake oil. It's fish oil, and it's incredibly good for you. Ultimate Fish Oil is now on sale, back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. If you only take one supplement, it's likely that's fish oil. It's probably the most popular supplement on Earth at this point for very good reason. People realize how good it is for them, and this is the best stuff on the market. Studies suggest that fish oils and fish oil supplements can slightly lower blood pressure, decrease the growth rate of plaque, and prevent cognitive decline. So whether you're a first-time fish oil shopper or whether you're somebody who has taken fish oil for a while and is looking for the best quality available, go to InfoWarsStore.com today and get Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. It's going to sell out fast because that's what happens when you have fantastic products. Help us fight the global agenda and also improve your health with fish oil. InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Taking a record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, folks. Rothmus on X. Here's the official story so far. A random 20-year-old acting completely alone walked within 150 yards of a presidential campaign rally with a rifle, climbed up onto a roof in full view of Secret Service snipers, set up his shot, and fired without anybody intervening and no help from anybody. This 20-year-old is also so politically radical as to attempt an assassination, yet not radical enough to have ever posted any political writings or commentary on any social media site ever in his life. He also wrote no manifesto, left behind no indication as to why he did it. His last and only political act before attempting to kill the Republican candidate was to register as a Republican. You must believe this and ask no questions or else you are a conspiracy theorist. And one thing we know about assassination attempt is that there's never any conspiring involved. Ever, right? Well, I'm not sure anybody actually believes that, even the people involved. Some other stuff that we've learned, although I don't know how confirmed any of this is. So I'll just tell you what people are reporting. Suleiman Ahmed posted a image that appears to show Thomas Matthew Crooks spent nearly $1,500 on OnlyFans over 5 months. Now, but I don't know. I got some questions about this. In that, do people really use all their full names, all three full names on Only, like when you sign up for OnlyFans, do you put your first, middle, and last name? I don't know. That's a little odd to me, though. If this is real, Thomas Matthew Crooks has the American flag in his bio, which is bizarre. He was a bully loner. Mario Nawfal reports the shooter in the Trump assassination attempt did have mental disorders. The FBI and Secret Service briefed lawmakers on the Trump assassination attempt, revealing that the 20-year-old shooter had a diagnosed major depressive disorder. Secret Service Director Cheadle acknowledged agency mistakes, while FBI Director Abate stated no political or ideological motives were found at the shooter's home. FBI Director Wray reported over 200 interviews conducted, promising a thorough investigation. This information suggests mental health may have played a role in the attack, with political motives remaining unclear. And of course, it was not long after the assassination attempt that the topic of SSRIs was brought up by me, because obviously these things almost always include somebody on SSRIs, always somebody whose brain chemistry has been altered by those mysterious and dangerous substances. Now, the timeline so far is this, although I think, you know, there's more information about that. You know, now there's information saying that he was spotted 3 hours before the event. But officially, and in the time frame around the shooting, at 5:10, Crooks was first identified as a person of interest. At 5:30 p.m., Crooks was spotted with that rangefinder. 5:52, Crooks was spotted on the roof by Secret Service. At 6:02, Trump took the stage. And at 6:12, Crooks fired the first shots. So it was a full hour of activity before the shots actually rang out. Again, we can get into the exact timeline here in just a second. Fox has learned from senators that were told in an all-member briefing today that Thomas Crooks wrote on a gaming platform called Steam, "July 13th will be my premiere. Watch as it unfolds." When investigators reviewed the laptop, they found a few searches in July of Trump, Biden, win his DNC convention, and July 13th Trump rally. Investigators have found no evidence of a particular ideology, which the FBI believes is notable, and nobody in interviews reported Crooks discussing politics. Suspect has two cell phones, primary phone recovered from the scene along with a remote transmitter detonator. Secondary cell phone was found at the home. It only had 27 contacts, and the FBI is in the process of tracking down and interviewing those people. And of course, Philip Anderson responds to this. The FBI should not be allowed to investigate this. They lie and cover things up like they always do. I think that one, that is most informed people's view on this. And then, of course, the explosives are the real piece of evidence to me. Where did he get them? How did he know how to build them?
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply. Especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burton effects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available, 25% off, InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review, or call toll-free, 888-253-3139.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. My guest today is Ed Tarpley. He's a criminal defense attorney in Alexandria, Louisiana, who served as district attorney for the 35th Judicial District, Grant Parish, and was a delegate to the 2016 Republican National Convention. He joins us now from the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. You can find him on X at Ed Tarpley, and his website is edtarpley.com. He's also the lawyer representing Stuart Rhodes and others in their persecution by the U.S. federal government. Thank you so much for joining us today, Mr. Tarpley.
Harrison, it's great to be with you. Thank you for having me on.
Well, very good to talk to you, and I'm very interested in talking to you because there's been some incredible information that's come out recently about the way that the prosecution lied, deceived, or, and these are my words, misled the jurors in the case of the Oath Keepers and Stuart Rhodes. Can you tell us a little bit about what's been revealed and what impact this might have on the case?
Well, one of the biggest things that happened is the work that our client, Steve Baker, has done. He is currently being the lawyers. And so he has spent hours, I guess probably hundreds of hours, going through video in D.C. He was one of the first people that was allowed to review the video. And he was able to determine that the testimony from Harry Dunn and Officer Lazarus with the U.S. Capitol Police was false, that these people said that they were in a place and heard certain statements, when actually that could not have happened because at the time they claimed to have witnessed what they did. They were in different places. Indication that some important testimony in the first Oath Keeper trial was absolutely totally false. And so it calls into question, you know, the statements of Officer Harry Dunn and Officer Lazarus and other statements that they've made. So, that is one aspect of new information that's come out. And there have been a couple of other things, too. So as the time has gone on since the first Oath Keeper trial, which took place in September, October, November 2022, we have found other video evidence that the defense did not have at trial. And so, you know, these are very important developments, as you may know. And it's something that, you know, we're looking at in terms of how we will use this in the future. But we can talk more about that in the next segment. It's just that we've got We're still collecting up information, and there has been information that has come to light that indicates that there was evidence that the defense did not have at the first Oathkeeper trial.
Now, would that be evidence that the prosecutors did have? I mean, would this be a Brady violation issue?
Well, I think certainly we would consider it a Brady violation issue. I mean, the government was responsible for turning over any exculpatory evidence, and this is what that would be considered. So, yes, we would consider it that. We filed a number of continuances. I say we. I mean, look, there were five defendants in the first trial, and there were eight lawyers. So I'm speaking kind of collectively here.
Right.
That different lawyers filed motions for continuance in that first trial. And, the lawyers, everyone agreed that we needed more time, that the evidence was just so massive, the amount of evidence, the phone calls, the videos, there were thousands and thousands of pieces of evidence to be reviewed. And frankly, we made that argument to the court a number of times, and there were some continuances granted early on, but long toward the summer of 2022, the judge in that case was pretty committed to a trial beginning in September. And that's what happened. So the last continuances filed were denied, and we went forward with the trial in September. Well, in hindsight, it would have been much better if we had had another 6 months to prepare, and maybe we would have been able to identify these videos that would have been very helpful in the trial. But we did not. And so I'm grateful to Steve Baker for the work that he's done and for the event, the evidence he's identified. I know that Joe Hanneman with Epic News, I think, Epic Times has broken the story on a couple of these videos, and others have been out there. I think Blaze Media has done the same, because Steve Baker works for Blaze Media now, and so he's done a lot of commentary and a lot of reporting on the issue of evidence that we did not have in the first Oathkeepers trial.
And of course, he was almost immediately arrested. Steve Baker, journalist, was arrested almost immediately after making some of this information public. And the thing I think people need to understand about this information is it doesn't just cast doubt onto the government's case. It completely obliterates it. I mean, it's exculpatory evidence, right? This video shows that the testimony that was used, and it was some of the prime, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, the testimony from Harry Dunn and Lazarus, or what they claim to have seen and been involved in their interactions with the Oathkeepers, that was central to the government's case, and yet it was proven to have never happened. I mean, it was proven beyond any doubt that when these guys testified, I was here and he was here and the Oathkeepers were here and we were, having conversation. In reality, the one guy was 10 minutes away. The other guy, the Oathkeepers had already left. I mean, the timeline didn't make sense. It proves that testimony was perjury, essentially. And again, these are my words, and I don't want to make any, I don't want to get anybody in trouble here, but am I wrong? I mean, this seemed like it was the type of thing where as soon as this was revealed, as soon as this evidence was put forward, I don't know. I mean, I don't understand the legal system. It seemed like there should have been some sort of emergency measure to go, all right, we need to vacate this conviction because this proves that the people with that perjury happened, that the testimony was incorrect or falsified. I mean, how is it that this information comes out proving their case was utterly false, and yet it's been months and nothing has been done?
Well, as you know, the case involved numerous allegations, and allegations of seditious conspiracy, the allegations of violating 18 U.S.C. 1512C2, which is the obstruction of an official proceeding charge. All five defendants were convicted of obstruction of an official proceeding. And of course, that's the charge that was reversed by the Fisher case. And
right.
I filed an amicus brief in the Fisher case for the former Feds Group Freedom Foundation, arguing that the use of the statute was improper, that they had expanded the reach of the statute beyond what it was intended for. And, we're really grateful that the Supreme Court agreed with our position and the position of many of the other amicus filers that this misapplication of the statute was wrong. And Chief Justice John Roberts wrote a great opinion saying that the novel interpretation of the Department of Justice would have exposed activists and lobbyists and other people to possible prosecution for influencing an official proceeding. And that would be lobbying a legislature or county commission or protesting some sort of a political event outside of a building or location. And so what they did with the misapplication of 1512C2, I think is really just an indicator of what they did in other aspects of the case, that the Department of Justice was, you know, creating this false narrative that there was an insurrection. We know there was not an insurrection, that we had permitted demonstrations, permitted protests legitimately occurring that day, and not just at the Ellipse, but in other places around the Capitol. And it got out of hand. I mean, there was a riot that took place, but there was no insurrection. There was never an insurrection. There was no plan for an insurrection. And, you know, Harrison, throughout the entire Oath Keeper trial, which lasted almost 2.5 months, there was not a single FBI agent that ever testified that there was a plan to enter the Capitol, that Stuart Rhodes was involved in planning an attack on the Capitol. And why is that? Because it was totally false. It was a false accusation. It was a false charge. And so everything that has come out since then just supports the fact that the Department of Justice created a false narrative, and they used the Oath Keepers as a scapegoat, and they used the statutes in the U.S. Code to crush them, and the use of 18 U.S.C. 1512C2 was a way for them to do that, because it carried a 20-year jail sentence. And as you know, our client, Stuart Rhodes, received 18 years in federal prison. So bottom line is the DOJ went out of their way to vilify and demonize our clients, the five Oath Keepers, the five individuals on trial, and they were successful. They got convictions of everybody. They didn't win all of their charges. They weren't successful in all of the charges that they filed. But of course they were successful in enough charges. And our client Stuart Rhodes received 18 years in prison.
Yeah, they were successful enough to put an innocent man away for nearly two decades. So I guess
that's exactly right.
I can put that trophy on their mantle. And to me, the phrase that stands out from the whole trial was, quote, unspoken conspiracy. And how that to me is just, I mean, it's an oxymoron, right? I mean, the idea behind conspiracy is that, well, you might have a murder and this guy didn't actually participate in the murder, but he ordered it. So, you know, it was conspiring. So he's guilty of the crime, even though he wasn't there and wasn't physically involved. It was his. So the idea is that there's communication, that you inspire somebody to do something, you pay somebody to do something, you conspire with somebody. How can you have a conspiracy if you never talk about it? How can you have an unspoken conspiracy? I mean, that, I think that phrase alone sort of shows how far they were willing to stretch the bounds of law to get this conviction.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I think if you look at what the DOJ did, their conduct was reprehensible. They concocted a story about an insurrection, a seditious conspiracy. There was no seditious conspiracy. All we had is, you know, working class people, middle class people that were expressing their First Amendment freedom, freedom of speech, freedom to petition the government for a redress of grievances, freedom to assemble in public. Certainly, we don't condone violence. We don't condone anybody that went into the Capitol. Like Stuart Rhodes said, after the ones that went into the Capitol returned to him on in front of the Capitol, on the pavement there in front of the Capitol, and they said he had gone inside the Capitol. He said, well, that was a stupid thing to do. You shouldn't have done that. And that's exactly right. No one should have gone to the Capitol. But the point is, what they've done is they took what happened and they created this myth of an insurrection out of it. They created this false narrative. And so they picked out the Oath Keepers and also the Proud Boys. And I wasn't involved in the Proud Boy case, but they picked out both of these groups as high profile groups that they could tar and feather and demonize and smear with the allegations that they were the leaders of the insurrection. That in the opening statement, the government basically referred to the Oath Keepers as like the vanguard of the attack on the Capitol. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. That simply did not happen. I know you followed this case very closely, Harrison, and the Oath Keepers had never been engaged in any violent acts in all the years of their history. They always were there to keep the peace, to protect people that attended Trump rallies and other political events. I mean, they worked doing disaster relief in Houston after the big hurricane, Hurricane Harvey. And, you know, they were always there to help people. And what the DOJ did is they simply demonized and smeared them and then falsely made them the centerpiece of the attack on the Capitol. And it just simply wasn't true. But they were able to put together the evidence. They were able to cherry pick statements from different chats and things that Stewart has said at the rallies and on the internet. And they used that against him. And so I've always said that it wasn't Stuart Rhodes's actions that convicted him. It was his words, that the DOJ used his words against him. And, you know, we live in a country where the freedom of speech is protected. And, you know, you may say some outrageous things. You may say some things that are offensive that people don't like, but those are still protected words. That's still protected speech. And they should not have used the words that Stuart Rhodes spoke in the public and on the internet and through other means. They should not have used that to convict him of seditious conspiracy and send him to prison. But that's exactly what they did. Now, you know, the thing with Harry Dunn and Officer Lazarus, I mean, that wasn't directly connected with Stuart Rhodes, but it was a part of the trial. It was a part of the trial, and it was something that the jury was able to consider. And so if you think about the fact, if you look at the totality of evidence going to the trial, then that evidence affected all of the defendants, okay? And it was, we now know that it was false testimony. And yes, we believe that this is something that, you know, we should bring up at some point, and it will be brought up. I know that all the lawyers know about this, and we're aware of these videos and tapes that we did not receive in evidence. But bottom line is, what the Department of Justice did was reprehensible. They concocted a false story of an insurrection. We know that an insurrection did not take place. And guess what? There were no plans for an insurrection to take place or for anyone to go into the Capitol. And no FBI agent ever testified on the witness stand that there was a plan for Stuart Rhodes or anyone else to go into the Capitol.
Even though that is essentially what he was convicted of. And you know, not only did they not present evidence that, you know, there was a plan to go into the Capitol or cause violence, as I understand it, it was the exact opposite, in that the reality of the situation with Harry Dunn was that the Oath Keepers were standing in front of him, protecting him from, you know, angry and potentially violent elements of the crowd that the Oath Keepers were not associated with. So literally
that's
the opposite.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, so they portrayed
no,
as
no, you're
the Oath
exactly
Keepers attacking.
Right. I think that the testimony was, and the video evidence showed that Kelly Meggs and Kenneth Harrelson and some of the others had formed a barrier between Harry Dunn and some of the protesters that were inside the Capitol inside the rotunda, and we did have that video, and we did show that video was shown in the trial, but Harry Dunn he testified, as I recall, that they weren't really protecting him, and he didn't want them there, and they didn't do anything to help him or anything like that. And that's just not true. I mean, you know, I know, because, you know, I know what the client said, and we know that that wasn't time in which they acted to protect the police and protect Harry Dunn, because they, you know, they just wanted, you know, order to be, put in place there. And, you know, they went outside the Capitol after just being inside for a few minutes. So, in any event, yes, Harry Dunn, put a completely different spin on what really happened. And I think Steve Baker pointed out that his book was false in many, many areas, that he made lots of statements that were simply flat-out lies. And you'll have to go to Blaze Media to check all that out. But Steve has written several stories about Harry Dunn and the things that he said that were false and the things that he wrote in his book that were false. And I think he testified before the January 6th committee. And Steve Baker has looked at all the errors and the statements that he made there that were not true.
And then, of course, Lazarus is involved in this, and he was the head of security directly under Nancy Pelosi. So there is, you know, when you talk about conspiracy, there seems to be, you know, more smoke here than in the communications with the Oath Keepers. But regardless, so you've got the video testimony, or you've got the video that contradicts the testimony. You've got more videos. Steve Baker's reporting. You've got the Supreme Court decision, you know, potentially vacating convictions over obstruction of justice as they totally stretched and warped that definition in order to fit, you know, what they wanted here. I mean, this, knock on wood, it's got to be overturned, right? I mean, there's so much evidence that this trial was fraudulent. There's no way they can keep Stuart Rhodes in jail after all this has come out, right? I mean, what's the prognosis here?
Well, let me just say the Fisher case had to do with the misapplication of this statute, 18 U.S.C. 1512 C2, 1512 C1, and it's a little complicated to understand. And I know that probably a lot of people in the public have kind of, you know, found this confusing, and it is confusing. 1512 C1 deals with the spoliation of evidence, with the with tampering with evidence, destroying papers and books and documents and that sort of thing. 1512 C2 says that it's a violation of the law to corruptly impede, obstruct, or influence an official proceeding. Well, that follows on to 1512 C1, and C1 deals with evidence, and it describes the different types of evidence that's against the law to tamper with or destroy. And so those two paragraphs of that statute should be read together, and that's what the Supreme Court ruled. They said that 1512 C2 is not a provision that stands on its own. That we can't go out and Deborah, I've lost it.
I hear you. We lost the video, but we still have your audio. Yeah. So, and this was originally written to deal with like Enron and some of these big financial companies that, you know, were suspected of burning financial records. You know,
We're back. Yes. Yeah. Yes. No. Harrison, you're absolutely right. That's what was going on there. And so what they did is they misapplied that to say that, well, what the protesters did that day, obstructing an official proceeding, which was obstructing Congress from counting the electoral votes. Well, we know that's not what happened. And so what the Supreme Court said was essentially what we argued in our amicus brief, that the expansion of the reach of this statute was unconstitutional, that this was beyond what the statute was designed for. And it would, if the interpretation of the DOJ was followed, and this is what Chief Justice John Roberts said, he said, if you do what the DOJ is, you know, claiming is the right way to interpret the statute, this would affect all kinds of prosaic activity, which means just normal everyday activity that would include activists and lobbyists and other people that are trying to influence an official proceeding. I mean, that means you could be prosecuted for, you know, going to Congress to lobby your congressman or to show up at a county commission to demonstrate against a resolution at the county level. In other words, it would have far-reaching effect. It would expand that law to encompass all types of protected First Amendment activity. Because guess what, Harrison? The First Amendment says we have a constitutional right to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
Yeah.
That's what we have.
And they completely warped it. And we know they went after the Oath Keepers, they said, in a shock and awe campaign to crush dissent. It's incredible stuff. Very sad. I hope you're successful.
You're
stay with us for a second, Ed. We'll say goodbye on the other side.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply. Especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt defects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review or call toll-free 888-253-3139. If you don't get a high-quality gravity fed filter from InfoWarsStore.com, please just get one. Now, we sell a unit, stainless steel, that is the highest rated out there. And there's a couple of competitors that are just as good. There's 100 others that aren't as good. It is the best system out there to take thousands of chemicals and compounds down to non-detectable levels. The tap water, the well water, it is a witch's brew. And right now at InfoWarsStore.com, we have a special on the Alexa Pure Gravity Fed Water Filtration System for 10% off. That's huge because there's not much markup in these because we sell them so close to cost. So get your Alexa Pure water filtration systems and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com. But whatever you do, research what's in the tap water and the well water and start protecting yourself. And all gravity fed filters are not created equal. We've got the best for the best price at InfoWarsStore.com for 10% off.
We take some brain force and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra is now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
Your cardiovascular system is under attack. Everybody knows it. And I've got in my hands two products that are absolutely insane when it comes to what they do for your body and your overall health. One of them is the highest grade fish oil you can find. Everybody knows how good fish oil is. This is as good as it gets. And when you purchase it at InfoWarsStore.com, you support the broadcast of 360 Win. And then, of course, Nitric Boost. You've heard all the rage about this. A whole bunch of concentrated natural compounds that clean out your blood and clean out your cardiovascular system. Everybody should be taking both of these products at InfoWarsStore.com. And both of them, by the way, are 40% off for a limited time. Now, the sale's going to end in about 2 weeks because we've already sold out of more than half of these products since they came back in. But if you want to get Ultimate Fish Oil and Nitric Boost for 40% off, get them both today at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for supporting the broadcast. I want to thank you all for spreading the word because without you, we are nothing.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, folks. My guest is Ed Tarpley. He was only supposed to be with us for 30 minutes, but I asked him to stay a little bit longer so we could finish up these final thoughts. We got cut off by the commercial break there. You can follow Mr. Tarpley on X at Ed Tarpley and his website, edtarpley.com. He is... He represents Stuart Rhodes and some of the Oath Keepers in their thoroughly convoluted trial, let's just say, and we've just been running through some of the exculpatory evidence that has come to light ever since the conviction. And I just want to finish up by asking this, Mr. Harpley. You're there at the RNC. I've been watching all the speeches. I haven't heard a lot about the political persecution of the J6 prisoners. Is that a big topic at the RNC? And is it as big of a topic as it deserves to be? I mean, how much is the plight of the January 6th victims of persecution being discussed there in the Republican Party?
Well, let me tell you what. Up until Peter Navarro appeared last night, there hadn't been anything said about political persecution in quite the way that Peter Navarro did last night. And he talked about the political persecution of himself and Steve Bannon. But that there has been a lot of talk about President Trump's political persecution, about the lawfare that has been directed toward him. So that has been a constant theme about the persecution of Donald Trump. There hasn't been much said about the January 6th defendants. I'm a little disappointed in that. But let me tell you what, if you talk to the delegates, it's a totally different story. I mean, the delegates are on top of what happened on January 6th, and they're concerned about it. And everyone that I have talked to, and I've talked to people from many different states, people are outraged at what happened with the prosecution of the January 6th defendants. And I've talked about the Fisher case with a lot of people and how that was a great victory for us 3 weeks ago, how that'll have a direct impact on over 350 people that were convicted of 1512C2. So among the delegates, the concern about what happened on January 6th is very important. And look, I did have a lengthy conversation with a congressman yesterday from Texas that is on one of the oversight committees. And they're very concerned about the fact that the Department of Justice misapplied this statute, 1512C2, that they wrongfully prosecuted people with this law. And the Supreme Court has knocked them back down and rebuked them for what they did. So the question about why did the Department of Justice use a law that clearly should not have been applied the way they did? Why did they do that? Why did they go out of their way to prosecute people with this? Well, I think I know the answer. The answer is, It was a way that they could pack on a felony conviction. It carried a 20-year sentence with it. They could expand the harsh jail time that they've tried to impose on many, many defendants. And I think that's why they did it. But in any event, we'll see. Hopefully the DOJ will be questioned about this at some point, because we need to hold accountable the people in the Department of Justice that have done what they've done to the January 6th defendants. They've treated them unfairly. They sought to imprison them and with harsh jail sentences, which was completely unjustified and unwarranted. So, and it certainly was in the case of our defendants. It certainly was in the case of Stuart Rose. So, by the way, one thing I will say, that all five defendants in the first Oathkeeper trial were convicted of 1512C2, the very law of the, that the Supreme Court said that the federal government, the DOJ, should not have used against them. So that's a great victory for all of the January 6th defendants, and it's a great victory for Stuart Rose. So it's one of his felony convictions that now is a kick to the curb, and so that remains the seditious conspiracy charge and the tampering with evidence charge that will still be on appeal for Stuart. But I think that here at the convention, people are concerned about what has happened to the January 6th defendants, even though there hasn't been a lot said from the platform, from the podium. The rank and file delegates here are very concerned about it.
Well, that's very good to hear. And obviously they have our prayers. I mean, this should be one of the overriding concerns of the people who, you know, want to represent us as Republicans right now. Patriots who never did anything wrong, never hurt anybody, and are, in my opinion, totally innocent of the charges for which they've been convicted, are rotting in prison for decades. And that is a injustice that we as Americans cannot stand for. And I'm so glad that the Oath Keepers and Stewart and everybody else has people like yourself standing up for them and fighting for them. And I just look forward to the day where hopefully justice will be done and Stuart Rhodes will be a free man again. Ed Tarpley, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody, you can follow Ed on X at Ed Tarpley, his website, edtarpley.com. Thank you so much for joining us today, Mr. Tarpley.
Thank you. Thank you for Harrison for having me on. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And Wow. Yeah. Incredible stuff. And again, I mean, this really is like, it should be the main topic of discussion. After all, we know why they targeted the Oath Keepers. Shock and awe. They said it. They said, we're going after the people with big profiles. We're going after the big thought leaders, the big protest leaders, the big, you know, organizers on the right wing as a psychological operation to set an example for everybody else. You think you can organize against us? Well, we'll tack on terrorism charges and you'll be sitting in jail for 20 years. If they get away with that, it really is the end of the First Amendment. And we've been asking the question here, you know, what happens when they steal the election again? What happens when the same thing occurs? What happens when they shut down the vote counts and send all the observers home at 10:30 only to have a tranche of votes come in, you know, 100,000 votes for Joe Biden, zero for Donald Trump at midnight, and they steal it right in front of all of us again? What are we going to do? Protest? Well, we saw how that worked out last time. Most people won't even, you know, want to risk it. They have us in a situation where if they cheat in the election blatantly, obviously, provably, well, the vast majority of Americans will sit quietly and stew. They'll still sit quietly and fume to themselves about what an injustice this is, but very little will be done. So if this isn't reversed, I mean, that's it. That's it for America. And it's, I can only hope that the evil of the deep state, as I know it can get sort of like depersonalized when you have institutions doing this, but just look at it on a human level. I mean, what they're doing to these guys, if it was an individual doing it, you'd call them a serial killer, right? You'd call them a, I don't know, I mean, just, it would be one of these legendary serial killer murderers. Like, they've taken a man who did nothing wrong, hurt nobody. Yeah, John Wayne Gacy Jr., That's how our government is acting. And just because they do it in robes, just because they're wearing robes while they do it, doesn't mean it's any more legitimate. And you can just imagine if, you know, it's just horrible. It's just horrible what they've done to these guys. And I can only hope that in their evil and desperation to get these convictions, carry out this psyop on the American people, to put us in a state of fear, to censor ourselves, and that's the ultimate goal of theirs, right? They'd rather not have to go through any of this. They'd rather not even have the protest happen because everybody just stays home because they're too scared to go protest anyway. That'd be convenient. They don't have to do anything then. They just sit back and commit crimes, and we, you know, quietly accept it because we know that if we go and stand up against them, they'll come after us with everything they've got, and they'll warp laws and manipulate and distort the rules in order to convict us. So that's their ultimate goal, and we can only hope that in their desperation, they have so overwrought and overstretched the actual statutes that they're using that it will all be reversed and it will all come crashing down on them. Because clearly they targeted people for a political reason. They have targeted Stuart Rhodes and the Oath Keepers specifically and explicitly by their own words because of their political beliefs and because of their stances. And of course they've had knives out for Stuart Rhodes ever since he first came to prominence when he wrote an article called something like 10 Orders You Should Not Follow, telling the American servicemen that you are responsible for your own actions. And even if you're ordered to do something that's illegal or unconstitutional, you have an obligation to not follow those orders. They really don't want people in uniform knowing that. They want people thinking you have to follow orders because they're planning on giving some orders that most people are not going to want to follow. Crazy stuff. We'll cover the assassination more on the other side.
I'm a humble person, and I want to say that I'm just a man, but I'm not just a man. Just like you, no matter what color you are, whether you're a man or a woman, you were made by the creator of the universe who had a plan for you, who has a destiny for you. That's why the system hates you and fears you, and that's why they hate me. It's because the spirit I carry is one of justice and truth and courage and honor and will and love. My friends, the enemy's coming after me, not because I'm a loser, but because I'm a winner. They're coming after you, not because you're a bad person, because you're a good person, because you love God and God loves you. And so I signed up for this. I signed up for this fight, and I'm not a victim. I'm an overcomer, but I can't fight this fight without you. That's why I want you to always remember
And I appreciate you and I thank you because InfoWars is your fight. InfoWars is your baby. It's a thing you built. We did this together. So God bless you all. Let's keep fighting. It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply. Especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burton effects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review. Or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
All right, folks, Nitric Boost is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, this supplement is amazing for several reasons. First of all, vitality enhancement. It's a great supplement to add to your routine if you do things like work out or if you're an athlete or if you simply want increased vitality throughout the day. The other reason this product is absolutely amazing is because Nitric Boost can help with muscle recovery. Now, we know that muscle recovery is an imperative part of muscle growth and that this supplement being added to your routine can help you reach your goals in the gym with that recovery. Finally, cardiovascular health is a major factor when it comes to Nitric Boost. We know that heart disease is a major cause of death in the United States of America. Obviously, we've heard tons of reports over the last several years, especially of heart problems, myocarditis, and things like that. We know that Nitric Boost is a way to support your heart health. Check out InfoWarsStore.com today and get your bottle of Nitric Boost now.
America is waking up to the sad and painful fact that we've been under a multinational, globalist, deep state, intelligence agency, controlled coup for decades in this country. We didn't have full control 30, 40 years ago, but they're really attempting full control now, and that's where we are. And InfoWars has engaged in the best long-term analysis of the enemy operation and predicted the resistance movement would form against it and the fact that we would have major successes against the enemy, but they would then double, triple, quadruple down. That's where we are now. So it's more important than ever that InfoWars stay on the air. I just want to thank you all for your support and spreading the word. It's more important than ever that we get funding. We try to make it easier for you to fund us by simply going to InfoWarsStore.com and getting great products that enrich you and your family's lives. I want to just encourage you all to not forget that without you, we won't be here. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com today, and I thank you.
You're listening to The American Journal. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back. Back, ladies and gentlemen, this is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We're going to get back into some of the things revealed about the assassination attempt and how it appears at this point the government is in a open cover-up. They're refusing to cooperate with congressional investigations that have been launched about the Secret Service failures that have taken place here. Suffice it to say, anybody with knowledge of governmental operations cannot look at this assassination attempt without seeing red flags absolutely everywhere. The shooter fits the profile of somebody who is often co-opted into these governmental false flag operations. And it's happened over and over and over again. Usually, it ends with the FBI arresting their patsy and then claiming victory and having foiled a terror plot that they themselves hatched and orchestrated. The Whitmer kidnapping case comes to mind, but there have been many others. And one possibility here, and sort of the best possible outcome for them, for the deep state, that is, would be that this shooter was being recruited by them, was being used as a patsy for them, either to try to get him to kill Trump, because that's what they want, and clearly they've been desirous of that for a very long time, and they wanted to do it with a degree of separation, get a patsy to do it. Or maybe he was being strung along, was being given fake or real explosives as part of a plot to plant them somewhere to assassinate Trump, but with the intention the whole time of the FBI swooping in at the last moment to stop the assassination and save the day, only for this patsy to sort of go rogue, decide not to wait for instruction, but just act on his own. But we heard the video from the explosives expert last hour, where he talks about what it takes to make the explosives that this kid had on him, which, unless you can explain to me where this kid had a lab, or if you can find on his computer the extensive and very detailed and complicated research he would have to do to know how to do this, unless you can prove through evidence that this Crooks guy actually was the one who built the bomb, we can only assume he got it from somebody else. He got it from somebody with expertise. And again, the top suspect, you're asking, who knows how to make bombs and who has access to bomb material in America? It's the deep state. It's the FBI. It's people like that. And this is what they do. They will provide bombs, and they'll provide real bombs sometimes to prove that they're the real deal, right? So you've got this patsy guy who's posting something online, or is discovered through some sort of psychological profiling that they might be a vulnerable person that can be swayed to do violence. The FBI will get in contact with them and say, oh yeah, we've got this big plot. Or they'll ask them, what do you want to do? Who do you want to take out? How do you want to take them out? And they'll say, you know, I have an explosives guy who can get you a bomb. And they'll actually go, you know, some cabin in the woods where this explosives expert who's, you know, an FBI agent who built the bomb in Quantico and then transported it out to some shed somewhere. And they'll blow something up in the woods and go, see, these are real explosives. These do real damage. To show the patsy, yeah, this is the real deal. And then they'll give them a fake bomb or a real bomb with a diffuser missing, something along those lines. So the fact that this kid had a bomb in his car, had bomb-making materials in his home, had the detonator on him at the time, doesn't even make sense with what he was doing. I mean, there's no way this guy expected to survive after taking a shot at Trump. He must have known that this would be his last act. So why did he have the detonator? Why did he have the explosive devices if he wasn't going to use them? It doesn't make any sense. What does make sense is perhaps he was provided these things as part of a different fabricated plot by the FBI that never came to fruition because he went rogue and decided to take the shot himself. So whether this was orchestrated on purpose for this end and killing Trump, or whether, you know, he was led along the path for a while by the FBI and then decided to strike out on his own, this to me is the most reasonable explanation for all of the bizarre inconsistencies and failures and security lapses that led to this event, which, I remind you, was a miracle that he didn't die, a literal miracle. And again, a miracle in that not only did he survive, but that it allowed the attempt to take place in a way that made it impossible to call it fake, impossible to say it wasn't real. Again, if this guy had just been arrested, you know, while he was still wandering around with the rangefinder, well, the story wouldn't be Trump survives assassination attempt. It would be suspicious character. Right? We probably would never even heard the story, right? It would have been some small town arrest of a guy who may or may not have been suspicious. And apparently, you know, they've looked through his computers. It's not, apparently doesn't have anything on there. So if they'd arrested him before he'd fired the shots, they probably would have just let him go and it never would have even been a story. So the fact that it got so close is what allows us to now have the evidence to dig in and to really parse it out and really investigate and maybe determine what actually happened here. Again, if it had gone any other way, we wouldn't have this opportunity. And it's funny because, you know, I was just joking yesterday because I watch a lot of like true crime stuff on YouTube and one of my favorite people to watch. He's made stuff about Alex Jones before, like he covered the Alex Jones trial a little bit. And he's never all that friendly to InfoWars. And, you know, just these, you know, snide little remarks that you hear from people, the whole, like, just how it's dangerous to question things, all this sort of stuff. And yet, it's these people that are now publishing videos going, yeah, something's not adding up. Something's not adding up here. I'm not buying the official story of this assassination attempt, which is good. You know, great. Yeah, you should be questioning everything. But it also annoys me just a little bit at these people who will say, oh, how dare you? How dare you question the official thing? Blackwater founder. Oh, okay. Yeah, that was, we covered that on the first day. I thought it had to do with BlackRock. Because we got more BlackRock appearances in this conspiracy, by the way, that we'll get to in just a second. But I posted on X like, oh, so we're all conspiracy theory. Oh, suddenly it's okay, right? Oh, suddenly it's okay to question the official narrative. I mean, people died. Oh, but you're out here questioning the official narrative. I was under the impression that that was, you know, horrible. I was under the impression you should be killed for that. I've heard people say Alex Jones should be hung for what he did, questioning the official narrative of an event. But not anymore, though. Now it's fine. Now it's good. I'm, you know, a little bit being sarcastic because it is fine to question the official narrative. You should be questioning it. It just happens to be the one time that it makes your side look bad that suddenly you're okay with questioning these things. It's a little frustrating and it's a little bit amateur because you don't actually know how to question things. Like there, people are so out of practice. They're so used to just chugging lies. They're so used to just believing the mainstream narrative and swallowing in hook, line and sinker. It's like they don't even know what to look for. They don't know what evidence doesn't add up. They don't know. So they're just saying things are fake with no evidence to back it up and no, you know, things to say. So the assassination attempt was real. Bullets were fired. We saw the whole thing from beginning to end. It happened in a way that it is impossible to have it be faked. Now, just because it wasn't fake doesn't mean it's all exactly as it appears. And this is, I'm trying to, you know, help our newfound conspiracy theorists out there learn how to do it, because you have to have evidence. You have to have, in many cases, a nuanced view. The question is not it was either fake or the official narrative is accurate, right? This isn't a black and white thing that says either it was all a hologram and it was all totally fake and Donald Trump put a ketchup packet on his ear to pretend he'd been shot, or this crooks guy went by himself and grabbed a ladder and climbed up on the roof and shot and nobody'd ever communicated with him and he'd never written anything. And those are your two options. It's one of those. No, it can be both. It can be both. It can be that this guy was the shooter. This guy did fire the rifle. He did act alone at that moment, but that he was in cahoots with other people, that he was trained or directed by people with official positions of power. Just because the attack was real and legitimate and actually could have killed Trump doesn't mean that everything about the official story is true. It just means that it was a real attack and that he really could have died. So I'll show you some more videos, more of what we know. I mean, just more and more information is coming out about this guy, his family, his interactions, as well as people from outside the event who seems to have had foreknowledge. We'll get into the financial transactions around this.
The most powerful InfoWars life formula yet, DNA Force Plus, is now back in stock for 25% off while supplies last. This elite formula contains the most cutting-edge enzymes, potent antioxidants, and traditional naturally occurring ingredients to protect the vitality of your very DNA. The powerhouse ingredients in DNA Force Plus include QQQ, CoQ10, organic reishi mushroom, astragalus root, rhodiola root, and an array of even more incredible
mineral, antioxidants, and extracts carefully chosen to help support healthy heart function while promoting energy production down to the cellular level. Provide your cells and DNA with the protection they need and try a bottle of DNA Force Plus today for 25% off. Or for an additional 10% off, grab the combo pack with DNA Force Plus and Body's Whole Support. These offers and so much more are only available at InfoWarsStore.com.
Naturally sourced from the finest hemp plants in America, Rebel Zen offers the absolute finest quality CBD available and at the lowest prices. Extracted using a cold-pressed technique to retain the molecular integrity of the cannabinoids and terpenes within the plant, this full-spectrum formula ensures that your nervous system gets the full benefits of CBD. Premium quality organic CBD like Rebel Zen has been shown to naturally reduce anxiety, relieve pain, and decrease inflammation. People have reported a reduction in symptoms of insomnia, arthritis, seizures, chronic pain, and epilepsy. Several studies have shown it helps to reduce cortisol, increase serotonin, and boost vitality. Order yours today at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. There's just so much to get into about this assassination. I mean, there's more and more coming up. Even the official story, and this is how you know it's real. The official story is not making the authorities look good at all. At all. And if they intended to have this happen, they wouldn't make it look like it was their fault. They wouldn't have all these security lapses. So much of this is real incompetence. Some of it certainly reeks of cover up and of purposeful design. The level of mistakes is so great that it does beggar belief that such a thing could actually occur on accident. And so this AP article that lays it out pretty clearly, actually. I mean, just it's so unbelievable. Listen to this paragraph. The young man was pacing around the edges of Donald Trump campaign rally, shouldering a big backpack and peering into the lens of a rangefinder towards the rooftops behind the stage where the former president would stand within the hour. His behavior was so odd, so unlike that of other rally goers, that local law enforcement took notice, radioed their concerns, and snapped a photo, but then he vanished. I mean, just think about that. Just think about the level of failures that allows this occurrence alone to have taken place. This guy could not have acted more suspicious if he tried. He may have been trying. There may have been some subtle, psychological thing that where he's like, he wanted to get caught because he's walking around looking, using a range finder, a tool for snipers to look at rooftops. He's got a big backpack full of who knows what. He's acting suspicious around the metal detectors. He's wandering around just looking like cartoonishly suspicious. It really is crazy. And we can go back to that video. You guys showed it earlier. I'm not sure if you had the actual video or pulling it up on a webpage, but the video of him like an hour before just wandering around and looking at the rooftops. And you see, he's there in the background of this video. And he's by himself. He's totally alone. Nobody else is even anywhere around him. He's just like standing around, like looking around and kind of like looking down, like looking over. Like it's cartoonishly suspicious the way this guy acts. I have the video, but I'm not able to pull it in right now, guys. So I don't know. Here, we can pull it up on my screen if that's possible. This is 1 hour before the shooting. And you can see Crooks in the background here. So that's him in the background, right? And look, he's just standing around. Like, what is he doing? What is he doing, and how did nobody see him? Just wandering around all by himself way over here. Just with his hand in his pocket. Oh, walk this way, walk a little this way. Just lurk around, just this greasy, pale goblin lurking on the edge. After previously, you know, an hour before being seen with a rangefinder and acting suspicious. I mean, the level of failure, security failure that happened here. Is this even a security failure? It looks like the kid was allowed to do it. So they say he vanished. He vanished after they snapped the photo of him acting so oddly. The image was circulated by officers stationed outside the security perimeter on that hot, sunny Saturday afternoon, but the man didn't appear again until witnesses saw him climbing up the side of a squat manufacturing building that was within 135 meters from the stage. Video shows the shooter on a rooftop. That's where he opened fire 6 minutes after Trump began speaking in an attempt to assassinate the presumptive GOP nominee. The gunman killed one rally goer and seriously wounded two others. Trump suffered an ear injury but was not seriously hurt, appearing just days later at the RNC. They say it's becoming increasingly clear that this was a complicated failure involving multiple missteps and at least 9 local and law and federal law enforcement divisions that were supposed to be working together. A coincidence, accident, or betrayal. Why betrayal is the...
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. And it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt effects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available, 25% off, InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review, or call toll-free, 888-253-3139.
Taking a record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal, with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, folks. This AP article characterizes the 13th as a complicated failure involving multiple missteps and at least 9 local and federal law enforcement divisions that were supposed to be working together. On Saturday, the show of force included members of at least 6 different agencies, including 2 sheriff's offices, local police, state police, and multiple teams within the Secret Service, plus fire and emergency rescue officials. And there's a lot of confusion that comes about because of the number of agencies actually involved in this. And I think that this has allowed the Secret Service to sort of get some of the suspicion off of their shoulders, but doing it in a very dishonest way. For example, and I'm not totally sure about any of this, but I do know that the head of the, yeah, and this is supposed to be by Derelict Republic at Rev Anon 1776. So, or no, this is a different, sorry, this is a different one. But essentially, the Secret Service head was asked, Cheadle, or whatever her name is, was asked, did you, you know, remove any Secret Service agents from Trump's detail to cover Jill Biden? Because you had Jill Biden, Kamala Harris, and Donald Trump all with events in Pennsylvania, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure they're all, like, very closely located near each other geographically. And she said no. She said not a single asset was removed from Trump's detail at all to go to Jill Biden. That didn't happen because that was some of the suspicion that was happening earlier. But then I've heard other reports that that's because it was the state police that were taken away from the Trump detail and sent to Jill Biden. So again, there's like all these things where the Secret Service head is saying, well, Secret Service, none of those assets were taken away. Like, okay, but what about other assets? What about local police assets or state police assets that were going to be assigned to Donald Trump, but instead were diverted to cover Jill Biden? She didn't mention that. She just said no secrets. No Secret Service was taken away. In the same way, she said the local police were in charge of securing the outside perimeter, but then the local police put out a statement saying, no, that was not our job. That we all we were doing was traffic detail. In fact, we have that video here. So this is the Butler Township Police Commissioner, clip 13, saying the Secret Service director was lying and trying to put the blame on him and his guys, because she said, well, this was outside the perimeter. This was in the purview of the local police. And the local police commissioner calls in to Fox News and says this.
What prompted me to post and on the social media platform last night, and of course, obviously talked to you today, is that our local Butler Township Police, their duties that were assigned to them, and we have an operational plan that details all that, were strictly traffic detailed. They were not required or not detailed to any security detail related to the event. It's strictly traffic to help people coming in and out of the event. If there is an emergency, those type of things. We saw the number of people, the number of cars at the event. And that's, I was so frustrated and quite frankly hit my limit again last night when I saw, you know, again, Secret Service says it was the responsibility of the local police department. That's absolutely not correct.
Yeah, the local police department is not the entity in charge of the safety and protection of a president or a former president. But once this started to happen, once this shooting began to unfold, the local officers did then try to assist, try to see if they could do anything, right?
That is absolutely correct.
Yeah, so, you know, that again, I'm not sure if this is miscommunication or if maybe she is just lying. Right, Secret Service, and it doesn't even make sense anyway, right? The Secret Service is in charge of protecting the president, and they might want to delegate, you know, certain operations to local police, but they are still in charge. Secret Service is still the one responsible. Okay, so it doesn't even matter if it was, Secret Service was told police could not watch building used by a Trump rally shooter. This is the thing. I mean, the news is coming in so fast. It's like, I don't even know what's true anymore. So, cause the idea was that when she said local police and this local police officer is like, no, that's a lie. But then it's like, oh no, actually she meant the state police, not the local precinct. It's very confusing. They did their job. Butler Township official details officer interaction with Trump rally shooter. So yeah, he was pretty pissed that she was sort of laying the blame on them. She was like, you just told us to direct traffic. We did a great job. We did our job. We directed the hell out of that traffic. We weren't in charge of stopping snipers. That's you. But regardless, this Secret Service director, Cheadle, should have resigned immediately, obviously, refuses to do so. She is responsible for bringing DEI to Secret Service, which is absurd and certainly contributed to the failures surrounding this. But even the official story is laying the blame at the feet of the Secret Service and their litany of security failures. They say in this AP article, the Secret Service controls the area inside the perimeter after people pass through metal detectors. Local law enforcement is supposed to handle the outside perimeter. Okay, except if there's a, you know, sniper vantage point outside the perimeter, in which case that is still very much under the purview of Secret Service. The shooter, later identified as Crooks, disappeared from the crowd of Trump supporters decked out in red, white, and blue. The stream of supporters entering the metal through the metal detectors was slowing. Trump was getting ready to get on. The rooftop from which Crooks fired is in a complex of buildings that form AGR International Inc., a supplier of automation equipment for glass and plastic packaging industry. The building was closed for the day except to law enforcement. Crooks was spotted again when members of the local SWAT team stationed inside the building complex noticed him walking around and looking up at the roof which would be probably that video that we showed you earlier, stuff like that. One officer took a photo of Crooks and radioed to others to be on the lookout for a suspicious person looking through the through a rangefinder, a small device resembling binoculars that hunters use to measure distance from a target. Not long after, witnesses reported seeing him scaling the squat building closer to the stage. He then set up his AR-style rifle and lay on the rooftop, a detonator in his pocket to set off crude explosives, devices that were stashed in his car parked nearby. Outside, a local police officer climbed up on the roof to investigate. The gunman turned and pointed his rifle at him. The officer did not or could not fire a single shot, but Crooks did, firing into the crowd towards the former president, sending panicked spectators ducking for cover. A Secret Service agent shielded Trump and pulled him from the stage. Two counter-sniper teams were stationed on buildings behind Trump, and the team farther away from Crooks fired once, killing him. The FBI and Secret Service officials laid out a clear timeline in a congressional briefing Wednesday. Crooks was identified as a potential threat a full hour before shots were fired. They saw him with the rangefinder roughly 40 minutes before the shooting and then spotted him again looking through the rangefinder about 20 minutes before the shooting. All of these documented. We're speaking of a failure, said Alejandro Mayorkas. We're going to analyze through an independent review how that occurred, why it occurred, and make recommendations and findings to make sure it doesn't happen again. House Oversight Committee Republicans have subpoenaed Secret Service Director Kim Cheadle. House Speaker Mike Johnson said he would set up a task force to investigate, and some Republicans have called on Cheadle to resign. Biden has ordered an independent review of the shooting. Department of Homeland Security's Inspector General also opened up an investigation into the Secret Service's handling of the shooting. But at the end of the day, the FBI is the one in charge of the investigation, and they have a history of destroying evidence that comes into their possession or it goes missing, but often it's destroyed. And these are also the same people with a well-documented history of lying and cheating and covering up in order to destroy Donald Trump. These are the same people that signed the letter calling Hunter Biden's laptop Russian disinformation in order to get Joe Biden in. These are the same people that ran with Crossfire Hurricane, knowingly using false information supplied by a rival campaign to surveil and terrorize Donald Trump and his family and hamstring his entire administration. These are the same people that let Hillary Clinton off for having a email server in her bathroom that she wiped despite it being under subpoena. Suffice it to say, not only has the FBI not earned our trust in this regard, they have demonstrated beyond any doubt of their willingness to lie and cheat and ruin people's lives for their political goals. So we're in a very dangerous situation. And Congress is demanding to talk to Secret Service about how this happened. And Alejandro Mayorkas is stepping in to say no and deny them the ability to perform oversight. This is a coup taking place. This assassination attempt was an attempted coup. The Secret Service director agreed to testify. But when was this story? Because she agreed to testify, and then that was this morning at 9:37. All right, so another twist in the story. So originally she had agreed to testify, and then Mayorkas blocked that. But now I guess she has agreed to testify again. I don't know if y'all can print out that story. This was what I had yesterday evening. Mayorkas is blocking Secret Service Director from testifying. The DHS is opening an investigation. Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill have lost separate investigations, and they've called on her on this director, Kimberly Cheadle, to testify on Monday, July 22nd. But then Alejandro Mayorkas is attempting to block Cheadle from testifying. But now I guess she's agreed to testify, so we'll see how that works out. But again, if Congress allows themselves to be usurped like this, that really is it for any semblance of democracy in this country. But let's get into some of the real interesting twists in this, some real bizarre occurrences. This is what was posted to me by Derelict Republic at Revenon 1776. He says basically ABC just reported that the ATF was able to trace the rifle's serial number and purchaser from a decades-old carbon copy receipt that the PA State Police put in the federal registry, all of that in just 30 minutes. Under current Pennsylvania state law, that record was supposed to have been destroyed no more than 72 hours after the approval for purchase. Background check. Talk about fishy. This whole thing stinks to high heaven. So they mention in this, the ABC article details how they, you know, checked this gun out. Pennsylvania law requires that information received by the Pennsylvania State Police pursuant to a sale is destroyed within 72 hours of the completion of a background check. The Pennsylvania Firearm Association notes that the Pennsylvania State Police nonetheless keeps a sales database of all handguns purchased within the state. The database was challenged based on what was asserted as the unambiguous text of the statute, allowing, quote, nothing shall be construed to allow any government or law enforcement agency or any agent thereof to create, maintain, or operate any registry of firearm ownership within this commonwealth. So this seems to show that records are being kept illegally of who owns guns in Pennsylvania. This is from a ABC 6 article, how the ATF identified the Trump rally shooter in 30 minutes. Within 30 minutes at Donald Trump's Pennsylvania rally of the shooting, they used a Byzantine paper record system to track down decades-old gun sales to help identify the 20-year-old would-be assassin. So that's interesting. They've got a firearm database that they're not constitutionally allowed to have that they use to identify this guy. Now this, and in fact, let's talk about the gun, because the gun apparently belonged to his father. This guy, Thomas Crooks, lived with his parents. And there's some confusion here. At least I'm a little bit confused at how this story laid out, because originally the way I heard it was that This guy's parents heard about the shooting, like they saw on the news that there'd been a shooting. And it was at that point that they sort of looked around and went, wait, where's our son? And then the dad went and checked his gun safe or checked where his guns are and saw one was missing and then called the police basically to say, uh-oh, I think we may know who the shooter was because we can't find our son and one of my guns is missing. So that's how I originally heard it. Now it's being reported that they attempted to contact police before the shooting ever happened. I'm not exactly sure which is the truth or what. Yeah, Trump shooter's parents called police hours before assassination attempt. So this makes less sense to me because this guy's, he's a 20-year-old dude. Why would your parents call the police just because they can't find you for a few hours on a Saturday if you're 20 years old? Like, that would make sense if the dude was, you know, 14, if he was in high school or something, it would maybe make sense to call the police if he's missing. But who calls, unless they had a suspicion that he was going to do something, in which case, why did they have that suspicion? And what did he said before that made them suspicious? Why would they call the police because their 20-year-old son is not at home? I mean, this doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Maybe we can fill in some gaps, but let's take a look at the news report talking about this, clip number 14. Here's Fox News, or I believe it's Fox News, reporting on the fact that Thomas Matthew Crooks' parents called law enforcement before the rally to warn them. Let's watch.
Rally shooter Thomas Crooks' parents were looking for him in the hours leading up to the shooting. We're now told they eventually called law enforcement to report that Crooks was missing, and they were worried, and they also we're told those parents are now being cooperative now with authorities, but they gave them the heads up that something's going on with our son. We are worried. We don't know the texture or the details of their concerns. So in other words, well, were they worried that he had a gun? Were they worried? You know, what were they worried about? Were they worried that he was going to try to attempt to kill a sitting president and then go ahead and assassin? Turn into an assassin and kill another person and injure two others. It was an attempted assassination on Trump, but he managed to murder anyway. Are we talking about that? What were they giving the cops a heads up about? This is the first time we are hearing this. We'll stay on the story and we will bring you the details, updates as we get them. Crooks' parents were looking for him hours ahead of the assassination attempt.
Yeah, so again, a little different than I first heard it reported. I first heard it reported that it was after the shooting that the father looked around for his son, couldn't find him, looked for his gun, realized that had been taken, put two and two together and called the police to say, I think I know who your shooter is, which makes more sense. That is a timeline that makes sense to me. Timeline that doesn't make sense is you've got a 20-year-old dude, his parents can't find him, so they call the police. And did they warn? Were they saying, you know, I'd like to file a mystery? Was a missing person report filed? Because he was just, he was missing and they want to know who he was? Or were they calling to say he's missing and we think he's a danger? And if that's the case, why did they think he was a danger? What had he said prior to that? And if so, how do you have a warning call about, here's this guy, we think he's dangerous, or he took our gun and is going to the rally, whatever. And then you have this, you have the same guy spotted 3-4 times in the hours leading up to the event, acting suspiciously, being noticed by law enforcement. They couldn't put two and two together. They get a report about a 20-year-old dude who may be coming to the rally with a gun. They see this guy wandering around and they don't go, oh, there's the guy. Because I could sort of understand it if they're like, look, we don't want to just like be roughing up everybody who isn't acting the way we think they should, right? Just because some dude is wandering around looking stupid, like you don't have to just arrest him and question him. That seems like just why would you do that? But if you've got this report and you've got these parents looking for him, and you go up to him and you go, hey, your parents are looking for you, man. Let's why don't you come with us? Or we'll reconnect you. Just, it doesn't make sense. None of this adds up. And it gets even more interesting. And this, maybe this is a bit of a stretch, but not really. But not actually. What has Victoria Nuland been up to for the last couple months? Because we joked about it when she was retiring. When she was retiring and stepping down in March of this year, myself and the crew speculated while we were reporting this, where do you think she's going now? What do you think she's up to now? She's not the type of person that just is going to actually retire and go lay on a beach somewhere. She's doing something outside of the government. There's some other nefarious operation that she needs to resign from her official position in order to coordinate and operate. And we're speculating about, you know, what overthrow and what foreign country she's now cooking up. But what if the operation was here in America? I mean, she leaves in March, and then there's no real reporting about what she's been doing since then. I was looking into it. The last entry on her Wikipedia, the last note made about Victoria Nuland in public is, yeah, she retired in March, and that's it. So for the last several months, what she's been up to? Well, what has she been up to in the years before then? Victoria Nuland's greatest hit, this squid-like angel of death. Leaked audio from 2014 shows she was instrumental in choosing post-Maidan Ukraine leadership. F the EU, she says, in reference to European allies in the same call. And this, of course, was after she helped to overthrow the Ukrainian president. Nuland's husband, Robert Kagan, founded PNAC, that advocated for war with Iraq. She was also Dick Cheney's right-hand man, as it were, during the run-up and throughout all of the Iraq war. She was intimately involved. Nuland told fascist dictator Volodymyr Zelensky to appoint neo-Nazi Dmitry Yarosh as commander-in-chief in 2021. She was involved in misleading the American people about the Benghazi massacre in 2012. She has to plan for Biden to force the firing of the top Ukrainian prosecutor General Viktor Shokin in 2015. She admitted in 2022 that in a sworn Senate testimony that the U.S. operates biological and chemical weapon laboratories in Ukraine. She openly admitted to meddling in the internal affairs of Belarus. She arrived in Sri Lanka in March of 2022. Sitting president was then chased out of office in July 2022. She arrived again on the 1st of February 2022. What's next for Sri Lanka? And isn't that timeline pretty interesting? She arrives in Sri Lanka in March, and in July, the president is chased out of office. She resigns from her position in the government in March, and in July, there's an assassination attempt on Donald Trump. U.S. ambassador to NATO concentrated on mobilizing European support for U.S. occupation of Afghanistan in 2005 to 2008 and publicly approved blowing up of Nord Stream 2, which caused widespread EU economic depression in January of 2023. And that's the thing I want to focus on in the next segment. We're about to go to break here, but when we come back, I'll show you two videos. One of Victoria Nuland talking about how the Nord Stream 2 will not be operational and giving a little smirk. This was before the Nord Stream was blown up by American secret forces, special forces. And then there's also a clip of her from a few months ago saying how Donald Trump is not going to be president and giving exactly the same smirk. So how did she know the Nord Stream wouldn't be operational? How did she, or why did she think Donald Trump would not be president? What's giving her this confidence? We'll be right back, folks. We'll start wars. I think she'd kill a president.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply. Especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burton effects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review. Or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
In the early 1900s, certain companies were off-gassing highly toxic fluoride gases into the atmosphere. The surrounding communities began to get sick. Laws were enacted to compel these corporations to install scrubbers to convert these gases into fluorosilicic acid, still highly toxic but containable. Now these companies had a stockpile of this poison, and there was no affordable way to dispose of it. Lucky for them, one of their major stockholders was also the Secretary of the Treasury, who was responsible for the Public Health Service at the time. And by 1950, the U.S. government began buying this toxic, untreated industrial waste product and dumping it into our drinking water. Reputable studies show that it's causing various cancers and other disease. With the Alexa Pure Pro, you can have clean drinking water and a remedy to this madness. Available now at InfoWarsStore.com.
A lot of listeners have complained in the last 2 years that our amazing high-quality coffee has not been available. And that's because the prices went up too high for the raw beans and the quality had gone down some. I turned down so many companies that wanted to work with us. But now we have brought back the coffee, and it's even better from a national supplier that's veteran-owned and veteran-operated. It's powered by the company Minuteman Coffee. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the best-tasting, best-smelling, strongest coffee that I have ever drank. It is game-changing. All you got to do is buy a bag of it and try it. I know you're going to be hooked, which will then fund your Operation A360 win. Go to InfoWarsStore.com right now for Escape the Prison Planet Light Roast. That's the strongest. The amazing Medium Roast Wake Up America. And finally, the best-tasting Dark Roast Tip of the Spear, now exclusively available at InfoWarsStore.com. Get your coffee now. If you don't get a high-quality gravity-fed filter from InfoWarsStore.com, please just get one. Now, we sell a unit, stainless steel, that is the highest rated out there. And there's a couple of competitors that are just as good. There's 100 others that aren't as good. It is the best system out there to take thousands of chemicals and compounds down to non-detectable levels. The tap water, the well water, it is a witch's brew. And right now at InfoWarsStore.com, we have a special on the Alexa Pure gravity-fed water filtration system for 10% off. That's huge because there's not much markup in these because we sell them so close to cost. So get your Alexa Pure water filtration systems and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com. But whatever you do, research what's in the tap water and the well water and start protecting yourself. And all gravity-fed filters are not created equal. We've got the best for the best price at InfoWarsStore.com for 10% off.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. It's hard to talk about Victoria Nuland without wanting to do a history lesson to try to illustrate how absurd it is that somebody like this can exist. Be walking around to like free. It's crazy. This woman has started more wars. More deaths can be laid at her feet. Maybe anybody else living at this point. It really is wild. Like you would expect maybe as you go through the timeline and biography of somebody who's been in foreign policy in the U.S. government for 30 years, you expect some failures, you expect some successes. You expect some, attempts to do something good that just gets out of hand, an unexpected, intervention makes things not go quite right. You expect one or two of those, and you expect maybe an equal amount of successes. Her entire career, which has spanned my entire life, right? 3+ decades. She's been in office at the helm or just behind the scenes, right? She's always the second in command. She's always the deputy secretary of state or the spokesperson for the secretary of state. I believe she was secretary of state for a little while, right? I think she's always been sort of deputy assistant. She's always just behind the face of the organization. And everything she's been involved in has led to tremendous loss of life, empowering our enemies, destroying America, killing millions. I mean, talk about an angel of death. Talk about a spiritual poison for all of humanity. It's hard to imagine what this century would look like without her. What would this century look like without a Ukraine war, without the wars in the Middle East, without Libya being a failed state and opening up migration to the rest of Europe, without the Syrian civil war bringing Russia in to the conflict in the Middle East and setting the stage for the bloodbath we're seeing now? What would the world look like if these countries were simply allowed to dictate their own fate without the meddling destruction of Victoria Nuland? It's hard to imagine, honestly. I'm not exaggerating it. This woman and her husband, Robert Kagan, are the main engine behind a lot of these things. The invasion of Iraq, Afghanistan, every foreign policy disaster that America has wrought on the world can, at least in some portion, and usually the majority portion, can be laid at her feet. And yet she's just walking around. And yet she's still, honored as a expert in these fields. It's something that is unique to these people, that their success is completely divorced from their capabilities. And I see it like what happens in Hollywood, where you give some guy a billion-dollar franchise like Star Wars, they just run it into the ground. And then they're like, all right, well, why don't you do the same to Indiana Jones next? Right, you would think that if you give somebody a responsibility and the outcome of that is nothing but flaming wreckage, that you wouldn't then promote them to do something else even bigger. But I guess that's because I'm operating under the assumption that when you make a movie, you want people to watch it and you want it to make money. Or if you are engaged in some sort of geopolitical activity, it's because you're trying to stop bad people and bring about peace. But if the actual intention behind these actions is something else entirely, then I guess maybe she's been incredibly successful in her own way. Perhaps the outcome of all of these things was what was designed, and that's why she's in charge. And it's hard not to go down this path. Newland, in this article from Stop the War Coalition, stopwar.org.uk, has this article, Victoria Nuland, farewell to the spearhead of U.S. foreign policy disasters. Nuland has not just been a high-level U.S. diplomat, she's been the spearhead, the golden girl of the U.S. warmongering neoconservative and liberal interventionist movements, which in barely two decades has given humanity the Iraq, Syria, Libya, Ukraine, and Palestinian disasters. And it just goes on and on. I mean, she is just at the center of all of these foreign policy disasters continuously for decade after decade. Brutal civil wars. The Maidan coup. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because her profession is overthrowing governments. She is a producer of chaos and civil war. She is a deep state operative of the highest level whose policies have absolutely nothing to do with what's best for America, but entirely what's best for her and the people she works with. And some people are saying, you know, her statements about things like Nord Stream or even the terror attack in Russia where Islamists murdered a bunch of people in a mall. You know, just before that, she was on tape saying, oh, Putin's about to get a big surprise with some asymmetrical warfare. And then that happens. And here she is. We'll go to clip 10 here. Talk about the Nord Stream pipeline while it was still operational and before Russia had invaded Ukraine. And yes, she seems to have a lot of confidence that Nord Stream will not be operational in the near future. Let's watch.
With regard to Nord Stream 2, we continue to have very strong and clear conversations with our German allies, and I want to be clear with you today. If Russia invades Ukraine, one way or another, Nord Stream 2 will not move forward.
Did you see it? Did you see the smirk? Did you see her face sort of start to light up there at the very end? She's trying to put on a very serious face. But as she says, I can guarantee you Nord Stream 2 will not go forward. See a little light in her eyes, a little smirk. In the true crime world, they call that duper's delight. You get a bit of a thrill out of lying, or in this case, telling the truth, but in a way that only you recognize. Now, I saw exactly the same smirk on her face, exactly the same almost perfectly concealed glee that she just showed when talking about the Nord Stream pipeline. She had the same look on her face when talking about how Donald Trump will not be president. She seems confident in this as well. So again, look for the smirk as she seems to hint that she knows something about Trump that will prevent him from being president again. Let's watch.
Our economy, et cetera. So I don't think that Donald Trump is going to be president. So if that's what Putin's betting on, he's going to get a unhappy surprise, I think. That is number one.
An unhappy surprise. Now, again, if this was just a government, a public servant, somebody who'd served her government and had some successes and some failures, it would never even enter my mind to think that, you know, she'd be orchestrating some sort of assassination attempt here in America. But when you understand that her history has left literally millions of people dead, I mean, Libya alone is a horror show beyond description. Look at what happened to Gaddafi. And that man was dragged through the street and sodomized with a bayonet on camera. What I'm trying to get across here is the people that run our country are bloodthirsty monsters with no moral compunction whatsoever about murdering anybody. So understand, when we talk about an assassination attempt, a coup, a deep state operation to kill Donald Trump, that's just, that, it's not like that's not in the realm of possibility. It's like, no, this is what they do. It is their profession. It is what they've done over and over and over again. The outcome is always chaos, civil war, and disaster from which they benefit. I'm just wondering if they're doing it here now.
You're-
cardiovascular system is under attack. Everybody knows it. And I've got in my hands two products that are absolutely insane when it comes to what they do for your body and your overall health. One of them is the highest grade fish oil you can find. Everybody knows how good fish oil is. This is as good as it gets. And when you purchase it at InfoWarsStore.com, you support the broadcast of 360 Win. And then, of course, Nitric Boost. You've heard all the rage about this. A whole bunch of concentrated natural compounds that clean out your blood and clean out your cardiovascular system. Everybody should be taking both of these products at InfoWarsStore.com. And both of them, by the way, are 40% off for a limited time. Now, this sale's going to end in about 2 weeks because we've already sold out of more than half of these products since they came back in. But if you want to get Ultimate Fish Oil and Nitric Boost for 40% off, get them both today at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for supporting the broadcast. I want to thank you all for spreading the word because without you, we are nothing. It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply. Especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt defects went way down. Then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review or call toll free 888-253-3139.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself, the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I want to encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
Omega-3 fatty acids are needed for optimal strength, and they can only be obtained through diet. They can be found in grass-fed beef, which is why the ruling class is trying to ban it. And they can be found in fish, which are arguably the best source of omega-3s. But the problem today is finding fish without a high mercury content. Your best option is our Ultimate Fish Oil and Ultimate Krill Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. Omega-3 fatty acids are essential for both our neurological and cardiovascular systems, our brain and our heart. They improve mood, mental clarity, and immune function. Get your essential omega-3 fatty acids from the best sources available. Ultimate Fish Oil and Ultimate Krill Oil. Get some today at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The American Journal. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Folks, just going through what the official story is about the assassination. It's just unbelievable. It is just unbelievable. It's either a level of incompetence that is unimaginable, which is possible with all the DEI programs being implemented by Secret Service and just the attitude that we were just talking about. That, like, results don't really matter anymore. It's about ideology or, you know, what you can achieve for the enemy. And it doesn't matter if you don't make money or if your geopolitical machinations result in civil war after civil war and chaos and death and destruction, or if your Secret Service detail completely fails to guard the one person you're responsible for. Nothing's done. Now, the person we hired to secure the border is actually letting in tens of millions of people. Well, let's have them stick it out for 4 years, see how it goes, right? It doesn't matter. Who cares? So who knows? Maybe it was just a level of incompetence that we better start getting used to, right? Maybe this is just how it works. And maybe once people wake up to this and realize that the government is incapable or unwilling to bring justice, you know, we'll have a total breakdown of law and order, and people will see to taking justice for themselves. That is the inevitable outcome of this, actually. And this is not calling for violence. This is a warning against it. And talking to my, talking to people from foreign countries that have this type of stuff happen on occasion. You know, they understand how this works. Like, this is just something that happens in a foreign country. You know, people taking shots at the leaders. Only what happens in those countries is those leaders have their own people who will take shots back. Not Secret Service members, but like militias. And it's the inevitable outcome. If you can't get justice through the system, I mean, think about, you know, if a family member of yours is like a victim of murder, but you watch the news and you know that, you know, 99% of the time murders aren't caught. And even if they're caught, they aren't convicted. And even if they are convicted, it's through a plea deal and they get off with a slap of the wrist. But you've just had your loved one senselessly stolen from you. And maybe you don't want to go through the process. Maybe you don't want to try to participate in the charade. Maybe you just want to take justice for yourself. That's where we're headed. And it's a natural reaction. So maybe it was just incompetent. You know, maybe this was just, you know, another data point in the decline of all things American and exceptional. Or maybe this was on purpose. Maybe they knew about the guy in the hours beforehand. Maybe they'd been surveilling him for weeks or months beforehand. Maybe he had been in contact with FBI agents carrying out a honeypot operation. They certainly knew about him 10 minutes before, and yet they let Trump go on stage. They certainly knew about him an hour before, and yet they did not intervene or question him. They knew about it 3 hours before when they took a picture of him, but didn't spread that information to the rest of Secret Service. They apparently knew hours before that when his parents called the police to warn them. So there is overwhelming evidence of foreknowledge of this event and yet a failure to act to stop it. But what about people that knew about this event days before? What about evidence that people were taking actions that seemed to be predicated on knowledge of this event? We covered this a little bit yesterday, but more information has come out about it, and the people involved have actually been identified. And that is the very suspicious high volume of puts placed on Donald Trump's Truth Social media company prior to the attack. InfoWars has the story. DJT stock sees 800% volume spike, record shorts the day before the assassination attempt. Surge indicates that individuals or large organizations anticipated a significant drop in the stock's value by July 15th, a scenario that would have likely have materialized had President Trump died in Pennsylvania, notes the financial outlet Finbold. Were corrupt insiders with prior knowledge planning to profit off of Trump's death? Data appears to show unusual market activity in former President Donald Trump's stock, DJT, ahead of Saturday's failed assassination attempt, prompting concerns about possible foreknowledge of the event and insider trading. One trend highlighted on social media involved an extreme disparity in trading volume regarding the Trump Media and Technology Group Corp stock, DJT, on the Friday before the assassination attempt compared to the previous day, with shares traded increasing from 3.9 million to 35.6 million. Jump of nearly 10 times. Now, this is suspicious on its own. It's especially suspicious when you think about what was known to be coming, right? Supposedly, nobody knew the assassination attempt was happening. What everybody did know was that on Monday, the RNC would begin. So anybody looking at this through just public information, who would put a bet on that stock going down? That doesn't make any sense. You're going to put a bet on the Donald J. Trump stock falling on the days leading up to the Republican National Convention, where it's going to be Trump 24/7, Trump, Trump, Trump. He's going to be posting stuff on Truth. It's going to get a major media push. It's going to be in front of a lot of people. Why would you bet that the stock would go down ahead of the RNC? That doesn't make any sense. Unless you know something. Unless you know something else that is about to happen. Now, Shadow of Ezra posted this, and this information has been spread quite widely. A company named Austin Private Wealth LLC shorted 12 million shares of DJT through a put option. The filing date was July 12th, the day before the assassination attempt of Donald Trump. They manage approximately $1 billion in asset, and this is by far their largest put option. The next closest was Citadel Advisors with 16,000 shares. Austin Private Wealth LLC, a financial services company, is connected to the Bush family through James A. Baker III, a former Secretary of State and close Bush family associate. James A. Baker III serves as Senior Foreign Policy Director at Austin Private Wealth LLC. He's been in the company since its inception in 2006, advising on foreign policy and international relations. George H.W. Bush was a client of this wealth fund and received investment advice from the firm. George W. Bush had spoken at Austin Private Wealth LLC's events and been involved in the company's charitable initiatives. The Texas investment firm Austin Private Wealth LLC shorted those 12 million shares just before the Trump assassination attempt. Some of the organizations that received donations from the investment firm are the ADL, the ACLU, Hadassah, Shalom Austin, Camp Young Judica, or Judea, Austin Jewish Academy, Congregation Beth Israel, and the Jewish Community Center. Died suddenly. Post a long post on this, again, connecting the Bushes to this, as well as the Soroses. The firm that took suspicious and enormous bet against President Trump's Truth Social stock one day before the assassination attempt is Austin Private Wealth LLC, majority held by George Soros's Vanguard and BlackRock. I don't know how much George Soros has in Vanguard and BlackRock. I'm not super aware of those connections. But obviously, there's a lot more information connecting, bizarrely, BlackRock to this shooter. He at least appeared in one of their videos. And they are, of course, heavily invested in ownership of this company. But looks like the crew just brought in a notice. This is a statement from AustinPrivateWealth.com. The SEC filing that showed Austin Private Wealth shorted a large number of shares was incorrect, and we immediately amended it as soon as we learned of the error. No client of APW holds or has ever held a put on DJT in the quantity initially reported. The correct holding was amount was 12 contracts or 1,200 shares, not 12 million, as was filed in error. In submitting the required report for the second quarter of 2024, a multiplier was added by a third-party vendor that increased the number of the shares by a multiple of 10,000 for all option contracts, not just DJT. We did not catch the error before approving the filing. Okay. We filed the report on July 12th to reflect our positions on June 28th. We amended it on July 16th. We deeply regret this error and the concern it has caused, especially at the fraught moment of our nation. Interesting. So they did hold puts on GJG, just not in the quantity initially reported, they're saying. Still very suspicious. And just yet another question in this increasingly tangled web surrounding Donald J. Trump assassination attempt.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt defects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review. Or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
Let me take some brain force, and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra, it's now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.